about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh no, not this again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel. It's like a chamois, it's like a towel, it's like a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry. This is for the house, the car, the boat, the RV. ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in liquid. Look at this. It just does the work. Why do you want to work twice as hard? Doesn't drip. Doesn't make a mess. Wring it out. You wash it in the washing machine. Made in Germany. You know the Germans always make good stuff.
I really love my ShamWow. 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 Where the f*** is my ShamWow? Somebody stole my f***.
And now.
Never thought I'd see the name.
Times are changing.
It's a hell of a thing.
You can't say hell over the radio.
Why not?
Those are the rules.
Jesus.
You can't say Jesus either.
Our feature presentation.
5:31 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to a new day. It is Thursday, and it's the 18th of Poon.
Right, and vagina is?
Disgusting.
Oh.
What?
How y'all doing?
We're good. Speaking of ShamWows.
Yes.
I do really love my ShamWow, but you can't put it in the dryer because it takes whatever, there's some sort of coating or something on it, right? And you're not supposed to put it in the dryer, or it's very different. And I've put almost all my ShamWows in the dryer after having them in the washing machine because occasionally you just forget,
right.
And I'm very annoyed.
So they're ruined, essentially. You've gotten
Well, now they're just rags. It's just not a ShamWow.
So is the key to the ShamWow to keeping the magic then is to wash them and then just air dry them?
Yes.
Just hang them up somewhere?
That's what you're supposed to do. And mostly I remember and sometimes, but all you got to do is forget once.
Yes.
And you're done.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's very sad.
That's good. But you know, a lot of good stuff comes from Germany. I mean, that's the important thing.
That's what I've heard, yes.
About the ShamWow. We are going to get to your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. You can call on any topic. Our man Kevin is out today. But he'll be back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Kriegel is a name that many people may not know. But he is a newscaster in Los Angeles on the NBC affiliate there who has been, I don't know, he's been on that station for about 100 years.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right? And they seem to give him the worst possible assignments. And this is what I love about Doug Kriegel is if it's torrentially raining out, they make him go and stand in the middle of the street and get as wet as possible. If there's a fire, they put him in it. I mean, whatever the worst job is, if there's a sewage spill, they make him swim it. I mean, it's so crazy what they do with
him. Don't you think they're trying to get him to quit and he won't?
Yes, that's exactly what I think. I totally think he makes too much money and they can't fire him and they're worried about a lawsuit.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out a way to get it. So they just make his job as crappy as possible. So yesterday is the parade for the Lakers.
The Lakers, yeah.
Yeah, 500,000 people down there. It's one of the biggest parties the city of Los Angeles has ever seen. Psycho Mike, I know you were down there, and you've got some interviews we'll be playing later on today.
Yep.
And it's, it's Lakers. It's star-studded. It's celebrities. It's the team. It's the trophy. It's the presentation. It's the event. It's the party. It's the hoopla. It's the fun.
Right.
They send Doug Kriegel out in front of the Coliseum to an area that is completely blocked off by police. Okay. Because I guess this was the plan, is they were afraid that people were going to follow the parade and then they were going to throw a big tantrum because they'd show up at the LA Coliseum and it was all filled up. There were 90,000 people inside and they weren't letting anyone in. So they were trying to avoid people getting to the Coliseum and then not being able to get in and starting a riot.
Right.
That's where they figured the fires and the glass and the turning the cars over and all that stuff was going to be, right? So they send Doug Kriegel out and he's literally standing outside the Coliseum a block away and there's nobody there. It's completely – I mean, he can't see anything. He can't
but there's
see
so the, many people there. How can you not see
because,
anybody?
Because they have the streets all blocked off around the Coliseum.
They blocked off the area around the Coliseum pretty early.
You know, the parade was supposed to start at Staples Center at 11 and make its way to...
I think before 8 o'clock they did it.
Yeah, I mean, I got down there around 8:30, and the whole area around the Coliseum was already blocked off. So Kriegs probably was SOL.
I love that they said about there with no access to the mayor, with no access to the players or anything like that. The only humans that you could see within a mile of where Doug Kriegel were these, like, five little kids that lived in the neighborhood that I guess had got under a barricade or something like that, and the police let them stay. So there were five little kids, and Kriegel, who's, you know, 130 years old, he's now out there, and the only interview he can do is with a four-year-old. This is a guy who's given his life to news. He can only interview a four-year-old.
Come on over here. Oh. What are your thoughts?
About the Lakers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think they did a good job when they played. Like, they just won against, like, the Magics and everything. Like, Lakers!
you just know that Kriegel, he may not quit, but he may go home and put a bullet in his head. He may just think, you know what, this is it. What am I doing? I've given my whole life to this industry and to this station. Now I'm standing here on an empty street interviewing a four-year-old about the Lakers. Poor Doug.
He went home and beat his dog. You know he did.
And I hope that's not a euphemism. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, what'd it do, nephew?
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What'd it do, nephew?
All right, you already know the number. Now let's see what you get as a prize today. Oh, it's a set of Skull Candy Full Metal Jacket earbuds and a Skull Candy swag pack. Lisa May, where's the location you're going to be at pimping this thing out on Saturday?
So funny you should ask, Bean, because it's the AT&T store in Torrance at 18201 Hawthorne Boulevard.
Look at that.
Pulled that out of my
ass. Listen to me, people. That was off the top of her head. She was not reading that.
From 1 to 3 on Saturday.
1 to 3 on Saturday. Yeah. All right, so go by and get some Skull Candy and meet the great Lisa May.
And bring her penis pictures. She likes pictures.
She loves them. Why don't we try, let's try Dominique calling on line 6 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dominique, thanks for calling. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
Your name is Dominique.
No, it's Dominic.
Oh, okay.
I-D-K. Gotcha.
Well, you know, Miss Cleo is the one who answers the phone, so that explains a lot. All right, Dominic, go ahead.
Yeah, I was on Figueroa yesterday at the Lake Parade, and guess who showed up?
Who?
Boston Celtic fan wearing a jersey.
Really?
Whoa. What makes you think you can say that on the radio?
Oh, sorry. I don't know.
And what happened to the poor boy?
A big Mexican dude behind him just donked him in the head, and I really didn't see him after that. I think they were taking turns on him.
Oh,
and yeah,
that seems unnecessary.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a loser, so.
They both fail. The guy who shows up at the Laker parade in the Celtics jersey fails. The guy who beat up the guy because he's wearing a Celtics jersey, he fails too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, Dominique. Let's try on the topic. Let's try Josh on line 5. Hey, Josh. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Oh, what's up? Me and my buddy were kind of bummed yesterday. We weren't able to go to the parade, so we worked overtime, sitting in traffic, trying to get home.
Yeah.
And we're just like, man, all these people went to the parade, and we're looking around, and we're like, man, I wonder how long it'll take people to take the Laker flags off their car, you know, if they'll just drop them as quick as they put them on, you know?
Yeah.
Some people only put the merchandise out, you know, during the playoffs, and then there are some people who rock it year-round. What do you think, Mike?
I think it's seasonal, but, I mean, there's going to be those rogue soldiers out there that are going to leave that up all through the winter. I mean, I think it'll be about, 3-4 weeks before we start seeing Dodger flags, especially with Manny coming back next week.
Right.
Those are the same people who leave up their Christmas lights, right? They're just lazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Christmas is, by definition, seasonal because it's centered around one date. But, I mean, I think you're a fan of a team all year long. I mean, even in the off season, Ralph is rocking the Eagles, you know, because he still loves them and still thinks about them and still roots for them and stuff, even if they're not playing.
You don't see many Lakers flags, though.
No, you really don't. Out of season, out of playoffs. Yeah, you're absolutely
right.
But
a championship's going to change things. Let me tell you something. I know the Lakers are one of the more popular teams in sports. But what I saw yesterday was pretty goddamn impressive. I had no idea. I mean, there are very few teams in any sport in any part of the world, including soccer teams and stuff, that could generate what happened yesterday. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
What did I say? Over a half a million people, I think they're saying.
And to take the Staples Center floor and bring it into the Coliseum, then pack the Coliseum and have people there all day. I mean, it was really unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. You're right. All right, let's change topics. Jason is on line two on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Jason. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do, Jason?
Hey, I was calling to see if you guys seen that TMZ the other night with Megan Fox on it. She was leaving a premiere in Europe or something like that, and they got some mean pictures of the camel toe.
Yeah. Oh, the Megan Fox camel toe was great this week. You're absolutely right.
That is Kevin and Bean picture of the day right now. So anybody who hasn't seen that can go to Kevin and Bean section of krock.com or kevinandbean.com. That is right on the cover of it.
But Jason...
Yeah, she might have... What's that?
It says here that her stock went down. That's your comment?
Yeah, I think she might have lost some stock on that one. TMZ's trying to tear it down, but, you know, I know I still dive in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what?
But you think that's a negative somehow?
They're hating on her pretty bad. They had another little story about her stubby thumbs the other day.
But listen to me. Jason, do you think that her stock, personally, do you think her stock went down because she was showing camel toe?
No, personally, I don't. Personally, she can do no wrong.
Okay.
But
that's what I was checking on.
That's what my buddy right here sitting next to me said. So, you know, that could be the consensus.
I support anything she wants to do to show us more of her body in or out of clothes is a plus, as far as I look at it. So, yeah, I've got a better idea of what to expect when I get in there.
Yeah,
so.
Sure you do.
Thank you very much for the call. When I get in there, right. All right, let's try one more. Steven is on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Steven, thanks for calling. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
So, Lisa, I hear you talking about the ShamWow all the time.
Yes.
There's... something that is so much better. It's called the Absorber.
Oh, where do you get the Absorber?
That was Lisa's nickname from 85 to 92.
Where do you get that?
I got mine at AutoZone.
AutoZone.
All right.
Can you put it in the dryer? That's my question.
You're not supposed to, but I have.
And it's okay?
If you get it wet, you actually leave it a little bit damp when you put it back in the tube. But, after throwing it in the washer, I got it wet again.
Let me ask you this question, Stephen, because I'm a big believer and proponent of the ShamWow. I mean, you could take the ShamWow out to the Pacific Ocean and sop it up if you needed to, okay? How is the Absorber better, in your opinion?
It absorbs just as much, if not more.
So it's the same.
It's the same, but it's... I don't know. I have both of them. And I will use the Absorber over the ShamWow every time.
Interesting.
Okay. All right. I'm willing to give it a try. I mean, I'm all for something that can, you know, if something's better, I'm willing to admit it. But I've not heard much about the Absorber.
The Absorber.
Have to check it out because I've kind of ruined my ShamWows.
Yeah. The ShamWow's got vents. Was the Absorber made in Germany? Do you know?
I honestly do not know.
That's where they make a lot of good stuff.
I hear that.
All right. Thank you very much
for the call. Well, thanks for the tip.
The Absorber. All right. We got a big program today. Got the internet roundup.
Oh yeah, we got some good stuff today.
Got some great stuff today, and this is what I love about the videos that people post on the internet. We do the very best we can on the website to keep you up to date with all the latest ones, including a great one involving Megan Fox that we'll tell you about just after 6 o'clock. But you know, Obama and the Fly, which by the way sounds like a major motion picture that's going to be out by Labor Day. Mm-hmm. But there's already a remix of Obama and the Fly.
That's
if you can
awesome.
Believe that. So we've got that. We'll also we'll be talking to the Grim Reaper today. We lined up an interview with Death. I'm very excited to talk to Death. We haven't had him on in a while. Mm. We got a chance. This is a very special event that is coming up that Southern California listeners are going to be pleased. It is X Games time, as you know.
Right.
And we're going to give you the opportunity to skate with the pro skaters at the X Games Quinceañera Ticket Kickoff Party, which is coming up the ESPN Zone in downtown L.A. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets. So you get a chance to meet some of the people that you'll be going to see at X Games. That'll happen between 6 and 7 o'clock this morning. Psycho Mike, you got a lot of interviews from the route of the parade yesterday.
I sure did.
We're going to talk to somebody who is trying to organize the largest group shot in the world. That is a shot of alcohol that he's going to try to get thousands of people to take at the same time to make it into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay. We know that's difficult to do.
Sounds like something, it's difficult to get into that book. Our listeners, I think, will be willing to come out and support that one, though.
True.
And, we don't have a very good track record on this show of getting in the book, but other people are able to do it. Also, your chance to ask a dream interpreter today. How many people, I mean, almost everyone has woken up and had the craziest dream and couldn't figure out why or if it meant anything or where it's coming from? Well, we've got an expert on who's going to tell us what that's all about.
Excellent.
And one of the great rock bands of all time is back with a new record this week. We're talking about the legendary Spinal Tap, and we'll talk to guitarist David St. Hubbins. He's on the program today. So all of that coming up, plus Ralph, of course, keeps you posted every hour with the Showbiz Beat, and he is coming up next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
What's going on?
That's great.
All right.
Why are we talking this way?
I don't know.
Well, the list came out yesterday of the Hollywood class of 2010 that have been selected to get their stars on the Walk of Fame.
Yes.
Once again, Adam West's name absent from the list.
Oh, no.
As they released the list of recipients this year.
He's TV's Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's 80. He's 80 years old.
Yes, he is all
those
things.
Let's not wait too long.
No, they had to make room for Peter Graves. They had to make sure Peter Graves got his star first.
Well, he does deserve a star.
Yeah. He hasn't been on television in 20 years.
True.
Adam West is star of one of the most popular animated shows on television, Family Guy.
I finally got accepted for a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Rodney Bingenheimer has a star.
Good
well,
point.
That's a good point.
Peter Graves, for those of you who don't know, was the star of a show called Mission Impossible back in the 60s. Very popular action-adventure program. Of course, the motion pictures of Tom Cruise were based on that. And then he hosted A&E's Biography for a while. And then nothing.
Excuse me, didn't he star in Airplane, one of the greatest movies ever made?
Yeah, he's getting it for television. He's going to star for television.
For TV, yeah.
Stay on target, will you please?
Okay, I didn't realize that. All right.
Other recipients, Chris Berman from ESPN.
Oh, God.
John Cryer from Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which I can see, Seinfeld and all that. Bill Maher getting a star for
congratulations.
Television. Sam Waterston, star of Law & Order for the past 75 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting his star. And a little fellow named Jimmy Kimmel getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
The kid from The Man Show?
The kid from The Man Show, yeah.
He's a fag.
Oh, come on.
What's he even doing now? Does anyone even know?
I believe he does a late night infomercial now.
Yeah. On basic must be cable. Awfully late because I haven't seen it.
I think he's selling dildos on it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Congratulations, Jimmy. If it couldn't be Adam West, I'm glad it was you. It was funny, I contacted Jimmy last night to congratulate him when I got the list, and he said, I had no idea I was even up for it.
Really?
caught him totally by surprise. I was the one who broke the news to him. He was shocked.
That?
And as you can imagine, pleased. So congratulations.
Well, I wonder who paid for it then. Maybe the network.
It's got to be ABC, yeah. In most cases, these stars are applied for by the PR machines of the networks and the studios. And those people who apply on their own get kicked in the nuts.
Yeah, we've noticed
4 years ours in a row.
Ours was grassroots, man. Ours was Adam West is the people's champion.
Yeah, well, not the people who pick who gets stars, apparently. For movies, it's James Cameron, Russell Crowe, John Cusack, Colin Firth, Gail Ann Hurd, Alan Menken, Randy Newman, Adam Sandler, Emma Thompson, and Mark Wahlberg.
Nice.
Well,
some good names.
After Mark Wahlberg's work in Planet of the Apes, how can you not give him a star on the Walk of Fame? Recording artists, Bryan Adams, the Canadian one.
Crap.
The Funk Brothers, Alan Jackson, Country and Western BS, Chaka Khan, Van Morrison, Marco Antonio Solis.
No idea.
Who's he, Bean? You know everything about records.
Don't know him.
You don't know Marco Antonio Solis.
But he's going to find out, I'll tell you that.
I assume he's a Latin star, but I do not know the name.
Bean will be following his tweets by tomorrow, I guarantee
you. He's muy caliente, and he's very sexy, and he's a Latin star.
Thank you, Vic the Brick. Ringo Starr, you know him.
Really?
From the Beatles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to give him a star. He's a
I
Beatle.
I guess you do.
Yeah,
ZZ Top and Roy Orbison from the 50s and 60s. Big star. He's getting a star.
I don't have many qualms with this list. I'm just so, gobsmacked that Mr. West did not get a star again this year. I really felt like it was going to happen.
Look, here's my take on the star thing. It should be for, lifetime achievement, in my opinion. You shouldn't give it to John Cryer, who's been on Two and a Half Men for 4 years, even though he's very good on that show. Let's wait 20 years and see if we're still talking about John Cryer or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're still talking about Adam West.
That's right.
It's ridiculous. Guy's been around for 50 years in one form or another on television.
Yeah, he deserves it.
I'm just saying.
Good for you.
Thank you. So next year, those people will all be getting stars. They have a live performance category as well. Andrea Bocelli. He's getting a star.
Don't give. See, this is a great example of where Adam West should have gotten. The dude's blind, right?
Right.
He can't even see a star on the Walk of Fame. Why give him one?
They're going to put a Braille star in. It'd be like speed bumps. And Cirque du Soleil founder Guy Liberté. Congratulations, Guy. It's no justice. No peace.
I think there is definitely a sense of disappointment.
I agree.
Britney Spears is planning to wed her new boyfriend, agent Jason Trawick.
What?
If you believe Star Magazine. They're spending a lot of time together and apparently are talking wedding bells. If it does happen, this would be Britney's third husband. And she is an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of people who don't have much luck in the marriage department, Billy Joel has split up with his third wife.
Did she realize how old he was?
Katie Lee, after 5 years of marriage. She's not Asian. They split up. She, of course, is the popular chef and host of some cooking show.
There were rumors that she was cheating on him.
Yes, with fashion designer Yigal Azarel. Yeah. He's 36. Katie, by the way, is 27 years old. Billy Joel is 60 years
old. Hello.
But I'm sure that had nothing to do with the split. Billy reportedly has an ironclad prenup, so at least he won't be losing any money in the deal.
Well, he should do that.
And People Magazine has named their hottest bachelor.
Hmm.
Chase Crawford, P.I.
Really?
From Gossip Girl. Yes,
hey,
Lisa.
It's distracting.
I'm sorry. He is the hottest bachelor in show business.
All right.
Yeah. Chase has an in-depth interview with people because of the honor. He says that his first kiss was in fifth grade. Ladies, if you care.
Gay wad.
His relationship with Carrie Underwood was a whirlwind, but he has no regrets. And although he's open to meeting new women, he's not on the hunt for a new girlfriend. That just means he wants to put it in you.
Yeah!
Other guys on the list of hot bachelors, Chris Pine from Star Trek.
Sure.
Shia LaBeouf. Rob Pattinson.
Rob Pattinson.
Ryan Eggold. And Kellan Lutz.
I don't know them.
I think they're all from Twilight. I think all three of those brothers
are from Yes.
Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights and X-Men Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Reality star Brody Jenner. Common. And Adam Lambert. Rounding out your top 10 hottest bachelors.
I thought he was in a relationship.
He is, but he's not married.
True.
No, oh, okay.
Because
he
can't get married.
All right.
So it all works out.
He says he's just dating. He doesn't say it's,
it's not true man love?
Maybe not.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Silk the Shocker.
Yeah. I smoked PCP with him.
Alrighty.
That's probably true.
For real?
I did, yeah.
Who haven't you smoked PCP with, by
well,
the way?
Well, I'm not.
Back
I
in your party
smoked
days.
PCP with many people, but I did smoke with Silk the Shocker and the now imprisoned C. Murder. Who are cousins of Master P. They're cousins themselves. They're the members of True, which is a short-lived rap group. And I was at
a
concert.
Listen to you tell the story all day.
It was neat.
In fact, I think I have.
It was neat. It was a good experience.
Okay. Isabella Rossellini. Hey, yeah. Isabella Rossellini. She's 57 years old today. Movie critic Roger Ebert.
Don't.
Does he have a comment?
No.
Yes, he does, Ralph.
No.
Oh, it's so hard.
Don't.
That's what she said.
I can't resist.
Do it.
Mistake my birthday.
Are you having a stroke?
He is 67 years old today. As is musician Paul McCartney. Legendary Beatle and Wing and solo
Wing?
Dude. He was one of the Wings. He's 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
At KevinB.com, we have a little section called the Internet Roundup. Won't you please enjoy it?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
I sure loves me the internet. I'll tell you that.
It's the best.
When you think about it, it's like a million television networks that go all the time.
Yep.
There's so much more content than there is on TV, no matter how many channels you get, and it's almost impossible to keep up with it all, and that's why we have a section on the website we call the Internet Roundup, so that we find cool stuff for you, and you have one-stop shopping to see what's new this week. In fact, here's a very funny video from collegehumor.com, where they're kind of making fun of something that I've noticed, too, which is that there's really only one plot line on the TV show Entourage. You ever notice that every episode of Entourage is essentially the same with just interchangeable hot chicks and guest stars? And I think you can tell what I'm talking about when you hear this clip.
This season on Entourage.
Vince got f***ed by an alien cat. No movie.
Cat didn't leave an alien baby in Vin. The movie's on!
Hey, yo, Vince ate a weird peanut. No movie.
What? Peanut wasn't weird. Vince is probably allergic to that catty f***. Movies are gone.
Vince slept on his hands. They're asleep.
Not going to
movie.
I love this one.
Every episode, he loses a movie, and everybody's all bummed out, and he's always like, "Oh, everything's going to work out fine, you guys. No worries, right?" And then something happens, and then the movie's back on, and then he goes and makes the movie. It's every single episode of Entourage. Anyway, awesome. That's very, very funny. You got to check that out. Something else having to do with the movies is the new Transformers is coming out, and I guess I didn't realize until this is the beautiful thing about the behind the scenes stuff you see on the way movies are made. I knew how much work they put into making the robots do the stuff they do in Transformers. I had no idea that Megan Fox herself was actually CGI.
Michael wanted hotter, and we pushed it and presented to him once again, and he said, "This is way too hot," you know. So then we had to pull back, and that's what you're going to be seeing when the movie comes out.
Also for this film, we've developed a revolutionary movie viewing experience, Megan Fox Vision.
You go into the theater, you put on the glasses, and now all those Transformer things are now Megan Fox in little to no clothing.
See, there's nothing but good news there. Yeah. So they show the actors who are doing their scenes on a, you know, with a green screen or pretending that Megan Fox is in the movie because they add her CGI later on. And they go behind the scenes to show how they took the Megan Fox, you know, what we think is a real person, but is actually what they created in the lab. They took her from the first movie and figured out ways to even make her hotter for the second movie.
Wow. So, yeah. Unbelievable.
That's great technology. Great technology.
Yeah. I agree.
All right, the hottest story out of the White House this week is not, you know, the president pushing to make health care happen. It's that he swatted a fly during an interview with CNBC. You got to see this video. I mean, the guys were making fun of me yesterday because I was so interested in it. It's not that there's anything exceptional about somebody swatting a fly. Everybody has done that. You just never see the president of the United States do stuff like that. I mean, it's jarring. It would be like as if you saw the president washing dishes. It's just... it's a regular person thing, and we only ever see the public side of the president, right?
Right, right.
So here he is, and the president, I got to be honest, is kind of impressed with himself for basically swatting this fly out of the air.
That's the most persistent fly I've ever seen. Nice.
Now, where were we? That was pretty impressive, wasn't it? I got the sucker. What do you think, Gibbs?
That is very good. It's on. It's right there.
It's right there. You want to film that? There it is.
And they did.
I love. Now, where were we? By the way, this won't surprise anybody, but PETA has jumped into the fray about Kill the Fly.
I knew they would.
They not only released a statement that said the president clearly isn't Buddha. He's got, you know, human beings have a lot to learn about acting before they fake. They also sent, and I'm not joking now, and I've never heard of this before. They also sent the humane flycatcher to the White House. And apparently what PETA's wish is that you will trap the fly in your home in this box and then take it outside and release it back into the wild.
They only live 2 days? Is that right?
Something like that, yeah. Just a very short period of time.
And that fly was on a suicide mission.
I can hear Ralph preparing the murder button right now.
Yeah, I know.
Look, I don't like to kill anything. I try to get spiders outside, but they actually do good things.
That's exactly where I'm at. I put spiders outside, too. I never kill a spider unless I know for a fact that it's a poisonous or dangerous spider.
Right.
But I don't know.
But flies carry disease. And
what does the
icky
fly do that's good? What
they
does
get in
what's
poo
their contribution? They're food for spiders.
They vaporize
poo.
They can eat
they
up some poo.
Yeah.
Ew.
Maybe that's it. Well, anyway, the beautiful thing about the internet is that something only has to exist for about an hour before somebody turns into a remix. And believe it or not, a man named Mike Realm has already made, he's a DJ who's already made a remix of Obama and the Fly.
That's the most persistent fly I've ever seen.
Now, suck it. Suck it. Get out of here.
Nice.
There it is.
Come on.
That's a remix.
That's a remix. Anyway, you can catch all these videos and so much more. Just go to KevinandBean.com or the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com and check out your internet roundup, won't you? You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you're a big Linkin Park fan, you like that song, you're going to want to know that Monday morning at 7 o'clock, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Chester Bennington from Linkin Park has asked for us to carve out a little bit of time for him because he's got a major announcement that he wants to make, something to do with Linkin Park in 2009. Mm. So that'll be Monday morning. Chester will be here in our studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
All right. You know our friend Seth MacFarlane over there at the Family Guy?
Of course.
He, you know, is phenomenal, incredibly talented, and we almost never got to know the magic that was the Family Guy because he was supposed to be on one of the planes on 9/11 that mm-hmm. was hijacked and flew into the World Trade Center. He missed his plane. And you hear about stories like this happening all the time, and you wonder how much that must F up a person's life to be so close to dying and to realize it could have been me and it wasn't. And what does that do for the rest of their life in terms of how they approach it? Well, fast forward to this year, and I'll tell you the story of Kurt and Joanna Ganthaler. They were Italians who were on vacation in Brazil and were running late on the morning of their flight back home, which turned out to be Air France Flight 447, which, as we all know, crashed into the Atlantic.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're running late, and they got to be steamed. Oh, my God, I can't believe we missed our plane. We're screwed. We got to rebook. It's going to be a hassle. We can't get back. They're mad. And then, you know, they find out 45 minutes later that everybody that was on that plane that they would have been on is now dead. So what happens to them? I mean, crazy, right? Life-changing.
It's terrible, but worse to be on the plane, right?
Much worse to be on the plane, right. So they dodged a bullet, so now they're living free and clear. So they eventually rebook and head back home, and 2 weeks later, they are killed together in a head-on collision in their automobile.
Are you kidding me?
That, my friends...
Oh, my God.
That, my friends, is Final Destination. Started talking about it, and we thought, well, is it? I mean, you know, some people believe that your number's up, and there's nothing you can do about it. If it's your time, it's your time, and that's why some people turn that around into a positive, and they don't sweat it because they feel like they're going to die when it's time to die. So, what can you do about it, right?
Right.
But
oh
we
my
thought,
God,
that's a terrible story. But how does this work? And we believe it or not, we have the Grim Reaper in the Rolodex, and we are able to contact the hotline to hell. Jeez. And talk to Death himself and find out what the deal is and how everything works. Death, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, Death. The Kevin and Bean Show here. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm sorry I fell asleep during that setup. I didn't know if you guys were going to take enough time or not.
I was trying to give some
context. You want to read the whole story? You can just read it verbatim if you want.
I just give a recap. They missed the plane, and then they got home and got killed by a car crash.
You should work for the blind and just read people newspapers. Be great.
You know, I don't know why I'm surprised that Death has a bad attitude. Of course you would. You're Death,
cranky,
right?
Yeah.
There. That's my sickle. I just barely took your head off.
Oh, wow. Don't do that. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
So, Death, is it like it is in the Final Destination movies where once my number's up, there's nothing I can do to avoid you? You're coming to get me.
When I make it, when you're on my list, then that's it. All bets are off.
Really?
If you dodge me in one area, I'm coming back to get you in the other. Because, look, I have a quota. I've got paperwork and triplicate to fill out. I don't have time to screw around with you people. Oh, don't kill me. Life is so precious. Screw you. Get in line.
So what happens? Do you show up at the office, punch in, and they give you a list of all the people you have to take that day?
First of all, I don't punch in, all right? I have a contract.
Okay.
I get paid no matter how many hours I work.
Okay.
And I get 5 weeks vacation, too. It's remarkable. It's the best gig ever.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I get to work from home on an island.
Well, that does sound like a pretty sweet deal.
A little death studio behind the house.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good deal. But, once I get you, I got the list, the updated, you know, it comes to me in my email, and I print it out, and then I just put on the cloak, and I pick up the sickle.
Right.
And, you know, it's off to work for me. Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Yeah, and do you just randomly assign how people are going to die, or do you have something in mind for each person on the list?
I do it in whatever way is most entertaining for me. Like, hey, you missed your plane, boom, you die in a car crash. Didn't see that one coming, did you? I like to see the look of shock on their face when it finally happens. That's my satisfaction.
Okay.
It's just fun for you, then. You enjoy your work, it sounds like.
Well, I'm an artist. You know, I it's not a, you know, it's not a job everybody would like, but yeah. I like to inject a little of my own personality into it.
Ooh.
It makes me a little more more entertaining, more fulfilling for me.
Sure, I understand. So this couple from Italy, then, if they hadn't gotten killed in the car crash, if that had screwed up somehow and they were just hurt, you would have figured out a way to suffocate them in their sleep at night or something, right?
Yeah. I would have, you know, I would have had them roll in a wheelchair out of an open window or something. Something fun. You know, something lighthearted.
Wow.
Maybe they're being wheeled into the hospital and a piano falls off the roof or something. Crash.
A bit of surprise, yeah.
Yeah, a big safe falls on their head. You know, something cartoony. Something humorous. Something for the kids.
So, Death, what happens when a bizarre story hits the news, like Kung Fu star David Carradine with the autoerotic asphyxiation?
Yeah.
Is that you,
that
too?
That was awesome.
Really? You did that?
Oh, yeah, I did it. That was me. Well, David was a kinky bastard.
Yeah.
And so I knew he had to go out with style.
I see.
So it was my idea for the wig and the fishnets. The cord was him. The cord was all him. I just added some touches. You know, sometimes I'm like a master painter. I just have to add a few brush strokes to make it a masterpiece.
I see. Well, I didn't realize there was so much thought that went into it. That's pretty cool.
Well, look, these are the things you don't think about. You're so busy living every day, my life,
right,
that you don't consider death. And I hope you'll consider it more because I'm right behind you.
Oh.
All right. Last question for you, Death.
Stop that. That's creepy.
And that is, any
you don't want to know, you're going to get it, Lisa.
No, I really don't.
No, you will. You do not. But it
like
does involve being behind you. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's
hey,
a terrible visual.
Signal's breaking up.
It looks like we're losing
am
you.
Am I on a ham radio or a CB here? What the hell? Why'd you just call next time? I have a landline.
See you later.
Worry, we're all flown on.
They got a new album coming out this summer. That's the great Modest Mouse on the world famous K-Rock. It's 6:37. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and the very delightful young woman who answers your phone calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Miss Cleo, has joined us in the studio. Hey, Cleo, how are you?
Good morning.
You're going to help us give away some tickets for the X Games Quinceañera Ticket Kickoff Party, which is going to be Thursday, June 25th at the ESPN Zone downtown L.A. You win, and you get to skate with lots of pro skaters, including P-Rod, who was just on the show, Jeremy Rogers, Terry Kennedy, a lot of them. It's celebrating 15 years of X Games. That's the prize on the table. And, Miss Cleo, we're going to play a new game with you today, if you don't mind. Now, you didn't love the last game we played. Tell people why not.
Well, it's not so much that I didn't love the game, because I know I can't spell.
Right.
It was maybe the intro song that came with it.
Oh, you mean this one?
Big boob, small brain, Miss Cleo has. Big boob, small brain, because she can't spell. Big boob, small brain, she's lucky she has no B's. Big boob, small brain, it's time for her spelling bee.
Be glad you have boobs.
So, how could anyone not like that intro? Too spot on? Is that the problem?
Maybe just not the nicest thing in the world. Maybe because every time I go out to a Kevin and Bean event, people yell, big boobs, small brain.
They do that?
Yes.
People are not
And
nice.
On the MySpace, and
aww,
it's just a
I
little
understand.
Mean.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, we love you, and you do a great job here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and that's why
Thank
we
you.
Don't want to tick you off. Although I stand by the intro as being completely accurate and 100% authentic and honest and true, but because you're upset, we're going to do another spelling bee here today for the X Games kickoff party tickets, but you'll be happy to know that we have jettisoned big boobs, small brain. You're not going to have to worry about that anymore.
Aw, thank you.
And I think you'll be much happier with the intro for this new game.
The smartest woman in the world!
That's right, America. It's time for that game that's sweeping the nation. The smartest woman in the world. Her name's Miss Cleo, and she has an IQ of a 9 gabillion zillion. She has so much brain power, she could actually power a small city with it. She makes Stephen Hawking look like heaven. In fact, you should just hang up now, because nobody will ever, ever beat the smartest woman in the world.
Don't mention that she has big boobs.
Okay, is that better? You satisfied with that? You like that?
Oh, my.
Yeah. All right. Let's meet contestant number one as we get into the spelling bee for X Games kickoff party tickets. We'll just take them in order here, Psycho Mike, and we'll start with our man Fernando. He is on line one. Hey, Fernando, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, listen up. Here's the way. You love the X Games, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the way the game is played. I'm going to tell you what the word is that we're going to ask Miss Cleo to spell. And all the words this morning come from a brand new survey that is just out. Miss Cleo, you'd be happy to know you have a lot of company. This is a list of the top 10 most commonly misspelled words in the United States. So there's no shame in the game. If you don't spell it, then you're just with a lot of other people because these words are commonly misspelled. So I'm going to say the word, Fernando, and all you're going to have to do is tell us whether you think Miss Cleo is going to be able to spell it or not. If you're right with whichever guess you make, you win tickets to the party. Okay?
All right.
All right. Will Miss Cleo be able to spell the word unnecessary?
No, definitely not. No.
You say no. All right, Miss Cleo,
smart
you're
man,
up.
Fernando. Okay, unnecessary. U N E S S.
Okay, congratulations, right. Fernando. You're going to the party. Well done.
All right.
She's the smartest. She's the smartest. She never gets anything wrong.
Margarita is on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Margarita.
Hi, what's up?
All right. The word you're going to be listing for Miss Cleo to spell or misspell is prejudice. Will Miss Cleo be able to spell the word prejudice? What do you think?
No, she won't.
You say no. Okay.
All right, Margarita. Prepare to be annihilated. Prejudice. P-R-E-J.
Come on.
E-D.
Okay. Congratulations, Margarita. Way to go. Way to go.
It was so close.
Next up, she's the smartest, she's the smartest. I don't even think she has boobs.
Next up is Matthew. He's on line 3. Hey, Matt, how are you?
What up, Bean?
All right, Miss Cleo is going to be asked to spell the word maneuver. Maneuver. What do you think?
Negative.
Nice.
You say no. Okay.
Nice, Matt. Nice.
Here we go. Maneuver. M-E-N.
Congratulations.
She's the smartest. She's the smartest. She really has a big brain. Not boobs.
These are hard words to spell. I'm not sure I could spell them, but Miss Cleo isn't making the common mistakes.
Yes.
She doesn't even get that far.
I'm the smartest person in the world.
Yes. Exactly. She's way past that. All right. Next contestant is going to be Richard on line 4. Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys.
If you're right, just joining us, you're playing for an opportunity to skate with pro skaters at the X Games 15 kickoff party. It's going to be June 25th at the ESPN Zone in downtown L.A. I hope you're going to take a cue from the former contestants and know what to say when I ask you if Miss Cleo will be able to spell the word indict.
Oh,
indict.
Come on.
I'm going to go negative.
No. All right.
All right. Indict. Can you use it in a sentence, Bean?
Yeah. Commit a crime and you'll be worried about an indictment coming down. You'll be worried about somebody
They may indict former Vice President Cheney. Not
there
really,
you go. Much better
trying.
Example of a sentence. Yeah.
They're trying. That's all.
Indict. I-N-D-A-T-E.
Very cool. She's the smartest. She's the smartest. She never gets anything wrong.
They should take my tickets away for not being able to use the word in a sentence. All right, let's try Eric on line 5.
Yeah, Eric.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
What's going on? I'm doing well.
All right. Listen up. Will Miss Cleo be able to spell the word consensus?
Oh, come on.
Consensus.
No way.
You say no. Okay.
Wow, Eric. All right.
I'm sorry. I can't spell it.
All right. Consensus. C-O-N.
She's the smartest, she's the smartest. I don't even think she has boobs.
All right, we got time for one more. It's going to be Ryan on line 6. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Come on.
I'm going
we
out
have,
strong.
Go
I am going
sweep.
Out strong.
Go for the sweep, Cleo. Come on.
We have been selecting words from a new list just published this week of the most commonly misspelled words in the United States. And number one on the list, which was a surprise to me, but let's see how Miss Cleo does and let's see what you think, Ryan, is the word definitely. Definitely. What do you think?
Nope.
You say no. Okay.
All right. Definitely. D-E-F-I-N. A-T.
Thanks for playing the game.
Sweet.
Congratulations. Yeah. You're going to the X Games kickoff party. Miss Cleo, ladies and gentlemen.
She's the smartest. She's the smartest. She really has a big brain.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the World Championship LA Lakers.
much yelling going on at the parade for me yesterday. Too much fun. You know I'm against that. I don't care for that. I don't like the fun. You guys know that.
Yes, we do know that about you.
But Psycho Mike was down there, and we have highlights from along the parade route. Mike was down there with 500,000 other Los Angelinos talking about the Lakers and the World Championship Parade that will be coming up after the news at 7. It's the world-famous K-Rock, 6:53. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you love the Incubus, you can hear that song recorded live at our Breakfast with Incubus up at kevinandbean.com or the Kevin and Bean page of krock.com. All the songs they did, including their cover of Prince's Let's Go Crazy, are available for streaming right now on the website if you want to check it out. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on with you and the showbiz beat?
Let's take a look at the reality show news, shall we? The father of American Idol Season 7 runner-up David Archuleta. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys watched that season or not, but it was between the two Davids. It was David Archuleta and David...
Cook.
The other
Cook.
David.
Was
the
bad David
and the good one.
The one whose dad was like hanging around all the
time? He was the uber stage parent who told his son to change the song mid-rehearsals, and the producers didn't know about it. They ended up paying extra royalties because he added something else. He was making demands of the band and of the producers. This guy was a nightmare.
Okay.
And he and his son, David Archuleta, are from Utah, and I believe they're Mormons, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. I think you're right, yeah.
Anyway, the story is that David Archuleta's dad was busted for soliciting a prostitute at a massage parlor in Midvale, Utah this week.
Oops.
Yeah, apparently he was caught when police raided the Queens of Reiki massage business in January of this year, and he pleaded no contest because apparently he was, you know, getting something from a Queen of Reiki.
How about that?
Yeah.
How sad.
He had to pay the fine, but he said he didn't participate in any sexual activity while he was there.
Well,
then why bother?
I guess the cops got there too soon. I guess that's happened.
Yeah. But last time
he's complaining.
Yeah, right. He thinks he should get a refund.
Exactly.
He didn't get the happy ending he expected. He's like Mike. He was like pushing his groin all over the room, and nothing was happening. More reality show news: is The Bachelorette this year a sham?
What?
Oh, it's going to make my wife very upset. Me talking poorly about her favorite TV show in the world, but. Word has come out that at least three of the contestants this year have been paid to participate in the show. Now they're casting and paying these guys on these shows like it's a regular TV show.
Oh, interesting.
Ed Zwiderski, Reed Rosenthal, and Kipton Locke. That's right, his name is Kipton. Apparently we're all paid $50,000 to be on the show and stick around and make it more interesting while The Bachelorette Jillian Harris tried to figure out which one she's going to end up with.
Is she hot?
So this is...
That's a nice
The Bachelorette, is she hot, Ralph? Have you seen her?
As our buddy Joel McHale says on The Soup, she is great looking in the personality department.
Oh.
Yeah. She's cute.
She's cute, yeah. She's not stunning or anything.
Yeah.
But this is what's interesting. If they're paying you to be a romantic suitor on The Bachelorette, then you really can't believe anything the guys are saying in terms of their interest or their enjoyment of the dates. It's meaningless. There's no connection happening if one person is just playing a part.
Right.
Because before that, it was meaningful.
Well,
before
you
that,
at least thought,
yes.
You at least,
true love.
Yeah.
You at least thought that the guys were telling the truth about how they felt about the girl on the date, right?
Here's what would make me mad. I'm one of the guys on the show not getting paid.
Yeah, that's what would cheese
BS.
Me up, too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be there for freaking love. And
whatever.
Guys are getting money.
$50,000.
Which is much better. There's another guy on the show called Wes Hayden. He's a country and western singer, and reportedly he's just on the show to try to help his career and publicize
of
his
singing
is. Career. So, big hullabaloo with The Bachelorette.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, we all are. Speaking of true love, Lindsay Lohan's in the news.
Yeah.
Once again, E! Online tells us that Lindsay and Samantha Ronson have broken up again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't keep track.
Apparently, Sam broke it off with her Monday night via text message.
Sure.
And asked her to stop all contact.
Again.
Because she's had it now.
This is it. But this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. Apparently, Samantha's friends aren't too hip on her hanging out with Lindsay. Namely, and foremost, Nicole Richie, who's good friends of Samantha, who refuses to be in the same room with Lindsay Lohan.
Oh. Huh. How sad.
Yeah. Apparently, a part of the latest argument they had was that Nicole held a party last week and refused to invite Lindsay. Sam went anyway, and Lindsay, as she is wont to do, went into a spiral of emotional turmoil that caused another problem in their relationship.
I'm sure.
Well, she was so upset she posted topless photos of herself on the internet.
That's right. That'll teach them.
I only pay for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
Yeah, you got a lot. Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, Us Weekly magazine reports that she was hired at Ungaro, the fashion company?
Yes.
To be a creative consultant.
Really?
Yes. Upon hearing this, high-level executive Esteban Cortazar promptly quit, handed in his resignation once he found out that Lindsay Lohan was being hired to work with him. She cannot win, this girl.
No.
You know what? I used to feel bad making fun of Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy. But now I don't feel so bad.
No! No!
Because apparently, Ashley Simpson Wentz and Pete have made a pact, according to Ashley, where they don't read anything about themselves unless it's sweet and positive. And they ignore news that is mean for no reason.
All right.
So I guess that means they don't listen to the Showbiz Beat, which is good.
Go for it.
Or read any newspapers, magazines, or blogs.
So I can say just how flimsy Pete Wentz is and what a fragile little flower he is.
What a talentless dick he is.
Yeah, that too.
Apparently, that's real talk right there, man.
Apparently, Ashley Simpson has the same pact with sister Jessica. They don't talk about or read anything bad about Jessica either.
They must be isolated.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. You got to read newspapers from 1945 to avoid everything. And is this good news? Mission Impossible 4 in the works.
I think all three movies have been good so far.
Yeah.
I think the last one with J.J. Abrams directed was real strong.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he is working once again with Tom Cruise and will be developing Mission Impossible 4, which will come out in 2011, according to Daily Variety. This is a surprise to many people, especially over there at Paramount Pictures, because Sumner Redstone, the CEO of Viacom, which owns Paramount, had vowed never to work with Tom again and cut off relationships with him a few years ago. But
That's right.
They say in Hollywood, money heals all wounds. Mm-hmm. And so the possibility of another episode in the tentpole series induced both parties to come back to the table and negotiate and work something out. So
I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm not gay! Go see my new movie! I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm not gay!
2011 is going to be a big year for Paramount. They're going to have that movie in the pipeline, as well as the Star Trek sequel that J.J. Abrams will also direct. And another Transformers movie, too.
Damn.
That'll be a big summer in 2011. So mark your calendars.
Yeah, I will do that.
I'm glad they're already planning a Transformers 3, by the way.
Absolutely.
We don't even know how the second one is yet.
Return of the Octopods, or whatever it's going to be. I don't know who else is left. After the Decepticons and the Riboflavins.
Is that it? I'm not familiar with the Riboflavins.
Sure, yeah.
What was that?
Today's celebrity birthday is Paul McCartney. Good old Sir Paul. He used to be in a band called the Beatles, kids, for those of you who don't remember. And now he writes such classic songs as Everybody Dance Tonight Freedom. He is quite the talent. He is 67 years old today, as is movie critic Roger Ebert.
Oh.
Also celebrates his 67th birthday. Lovely and talented actress Isabella Rossellini.
Aye, aye, aye.
He is 57 years old today.
Hit me, Frank.
Daddy needs blue velvet. Nathan Morris of Boys to Men.
Yeah.
Is 38. And Silk the Shocker.
All right.
Yeah. Who Mike once smoked PCP with. Celebrates his 34th birthday. Inexplicably, Silk is still with us after smoking as much PCP as Mike can smoke.
Who wants to smoke a sharp stick?
I do. That's how it went.
He's Master P's little brother, isn't he?
Or cousin. C. Murder was maybe the cousin. You're right. I think he is the little brother.
I think so, too. Yeah.
They're all No Limit soldiers.
That's all
you need to know.
Like no effing limits right there.
It's just no limits, bud.
What, you want to smoke a what? What were they calling it back then?
Who wants to smoke a Sherm stick?
Sherm stick.
You have to use Nat Sherman cigarettes to dip in the PCP because they're thick enough to absorb it all.
Gotcha.
So, who wants to smoke a Sherm? And I said, I do.
And PCP, for those who aren't familiar, is also known commonly on the street as angel dust, if I'm not mistaken. And it causes psychotic episodes, often psychotic breaks where people act out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drooled on myself a lot and begged someone to kill me.
Right.
And it smelled of magic marker.
Uh-huh. So you think it was a good time?
Yeah, good times, all in all.
Sweet. That's something that the kids can take home today. Get out your Nat Shermans and find some embalming
dip away.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let's go Lakers. Bum, 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 bum. Let's go Lakers. That was the chant during the parade this morning. And again, what a parade it was. Hats off to the Lakers and hats off to you fans. Everything went well today.
There's nothing sadder than seeing a reporter like I did that guy from Channel 7 on the TV yesterday chanting Let's Go Lakers just by himself, pretty much. A one-person chant just doesn't have the same energy as seeing a crowd do it.
If there was only some place he could have gone yesterday where there was a lot of Laker fans
all coming together in a compact area.
That would have been cool.
Hmm. Could have had a shared experience with his fandom for the Lakers, right?
Yes.
It's the Kevin DeBean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Yesterday was the day for 7 years Laker fans have been waiting for another championship trophy to come home. It was a big parade. Mayor Villaraigosa was out there. I don't know if you guys saw him hanging on Kobe, hanging on every... He could not have gotten himself more involved in the middle of that parade than he did yesterday. He was also the one that did the introductions, you know, brought the team out at the Coliseum and everything. But it was so funny on the TV, you know, they'd say, please welcome Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And the camera would pan over to him. And Mayor Villaraigosa literally had his hands around Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's neck, like hanging on to him.
Yeah.
Doing everything he could to get in every shot that involved the Lakers.
That's obnoxious. Funny.
It looked like a Pop Warner football game where one kid's just way bigger than the rest, and he's walking, and there's just little children hanging off of him. That's what Mayor Villaraigosa looked like.
It was very funny. But, you know, the police did an outstanding job yesterday because the fears were, especially after Sunday night when they had all that trouble, the fears were there was going to be some rioting yesterday. And we talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday. We didn't really expect that to happen because, A, you're a few days past the initial elation of the championship. B, it's in the middle of the day.
Right.
C, you got massive police presence and organization everywhere before the thing happens. And it ended up being a pretty peaceful thing. What'd you think of the crowd down there? You were out amongst the 500,000 yesterday, Michael.
Yeah, it was intimidating at first. And because you did kind of suspect that there might be some type of violence because of, like Bean said, what went on a couple nights ago. But
and
I think
it's just
also,
so many people.
Yeah, I think also, though, there was a lot of disappointment throughout Laker fans for what went on after the finals game. I don't think that was an indication of what true Laker fans wanted to do. That was just a bunch of thugs looking for an excuse to rob places.
I'm sorry. A bunch of what, Chief Bratton?
Knuckleheads. Knuckleheads. I'm sorry.
That's what they were, right.
I apologize.
You got to use the strong official language of the popo.
I apologize for deviating from the right terminology. But everything down there was really peaceful. And I honestly was going in, and I may be biased because I am a Laker fan at heart, but I was really impressed at what went on yesterday. I mean, it was just overwhelming. I just don't know, like I said earlier, how many teams could really generate that type of support. It lasted all day. Everybody was so happy, and even the players, even a guy like Kobe Bryant, who's experienced so much and has probably become jaded to the idea of being a superstar, was evidently touched by the crowd at on the parade route and inside the Coliseum. It was just unbelievable how much people have come to love this team and the development and the groundswell support for the Lakers. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Are they selling the T-shirt yesterday that he walked out with, the one with the four fingers with four rings on it?
They were selling every possible T-shirt you could imagine. Anything that has to do with lakes or Los Angeles, anything. If you could somehow put something like a strip of purple and gold on something, they were selling it yesterday down at the, whether it be legit or bootleg. But
we've got a video up at krock.com in the Kevin DeBean section. You can see Psycho Mike out in the crowd talking to Laker fans, and you can watch the thing online, or you can hear a portion of it right now on the radio. What do we need to know before we hear this clip from the K-Rock microphones with their department?
Nothing much. This is just a clip montage of everything that I saw and experienced yesterday at the parade route. What are you doing here today?
I'm here for the Lakers.
And how much do the Lakers mean to you?
Lakers. Yeah, man. They mean everything to me, man.
9 years old. Okay. At this point in your life, what's more important, girls or the Lakers? Lakers, yeah. I'm 30 and it's the same way. Are you prepared to inhale some tear gas this morning?
No.
Not at all. At this point, sir, do you think we should officially change the Lakers' colors to purple, gold, and brown?
They already are, man. They already are.
Are those officially sanctioned Laker t-shirts, or are those something you designed yourself?
No, they're from the LA Times.
They're from the LA Times.
LA Times, right.
All right.
See, actually, this is on the front page of the LA Times.
So those, because they have an image from the LA Times, those come from the LA Times. You couldn't have...
Right,
you know,
right. This
you
from
know,
the LA
possibly
Times.
Copied that or imposed that on a shirt.
No, just, this is on the front page.
That would be illegal.
Yeah, this is on the front page of the LA Times.
That was, in fact, on the front page of the LA Times.
Right.
My point is that you couldn't have taken that from the LA Times?
Oh,
either.
No. We no.
That'd be bad.
No, that would be terrible.
Lakers, baby, number one. Right here.
Yeah, you guys are already on summer break, or do you have school today?
No, ditching.
They're ditching?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Father let them take a day off.
Barack Obama or Kobe Bryant?
Kobe!
Let's say Kobe Bryant were to approach you about killing someone for him. Would you do it?
Of course not. You know, unless he's going to buy me like 3 mansions, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Then I'll go ahead and do it. The rest of Los Angeles, yeah!
What's the official beverage of the Laker parade this morning?
Water and Gatorade.
Water and Gatorade. All right.
Yeah.
And what do the Lakers mean to you?
Oh, they mean a lot. I mean, they've been in the city quite a long time, and they've won this championship this year. And I, you know, think that they're going to do good in the years to come.
Do you think we can get some personal investors to help us sign Lamar Odom and Trevor Ariza?
Well, there's a great possibility to do that, I would say.
Now, do you think we can get some private investors to help get us some 40s?
It'd be nice. Lakers, baby!
By the way, a lot of the talk yesterday, this is a terrible thing about sports. Even though this long season's finally over, you've won the championship, you can't stop but thinking about next year already. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are talking about what the chances are, because you know how hard repeating is in the NBA. And they've got the core guys back. But what about a dude like Lamar Odom, who isn't he going to have to take a massive pay cut in order to stay with the Lakers?
If they want to sign Lamar and Trevor Ariza, who are both up for contract renegotiations, one of those two guys is going to have to take a massive pay cut.
Wow.
And that's because there's a salary cap? Is that why?
Yeah, there is. Or they'll have to pay the luxury tax, which would be massive if they're to go over it.
Because you imagine that you want to do – I mean, once you win the championship, you've got the right guys, and it's a pretty young team. You think, well, let's do everything we possibly can to get all those guys back in place, right?
Of course.
Lakers had two players over 30 on their roster when they won the championship recently, and it was Kobe Bryant and Derek Fisher.
Which are not two bad guys to have, by the way. Anyway, so congratulations to the Lakers and congratulations to the fans for coming out. It really was it was a great, great day yesterday. We got to talk to a Kevin Mean listener who has a cause that I think we may need to get behind, because it involves making the Guinness Book of World Records for drinking. And that's something that will get our listeners' attention. Nicholas, welcome to the Kevin Mean Show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We appreciate the email. What's going on, dude?
So the record we're trying to break is the biggest group to simultaneously take a shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to do this for the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes, we are. We have the record that we have to beat is 1,300 people. They did it in Germany, taking a shot of corn schnapps about 2 years ago.
Wow. I'm really surprised that this record has held for 2 years. This seems like one that wouldn't be terribly difficult to break, just because there are a lot of, you know, you could do it at Coachella easily. You know what I mean? There's a lot of festivals where you have lots of people drinking at the same time.
Exactly, and that was the idea I originally had. I couldn't believe it had stood that long, and so I talked to a club down here in Long Beach, and we got 1,500 shots set up, and they're all donated, so all the shots are going to be free for everybody.
That's awesome.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where did you get somebody to, I mean, tell me about the donation. Where's the alcohol coming from?
The alcohol is coming from Sparkle Shot Girls. They're girls that go around to a bunch of clubs down here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
They walk around. They have shots and test tubes that you can buy.
Right.
So they have little caps on them. They have different things. And the shots are actually going to come in those. They're going to be, the tube will actually say, I was part of a world record group shot, and the date in Long Beach, too. So
and fantastic.
What's going to be in the tube?
The shots are going to be Sex on the Beach.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a crowd pleaser right there.
Definitely.
All right. So where are you guys doing this and when?
We are doing it at Shore Ultra Lounge, which is on the corner of PCH and 2nd Street in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be tomorrow night. The shot's going to go down at 10:30 sharp, so we're suggesting people get there early to make sure they get in.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the Shore Ultra Lounge on a Friday night, that will mean that DJ Omar Khan will be DJing, right?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
He plays. I think he goes on probably right around the time we're going to be doing the shots. I'll probably try and get on his mic.
Wow, how about that? Now, we have a very long history of failing when it comes to trying to get in the Guinness Book of World Records. Have you made sure that you've got all the appropriate paperwork and witnesses and videos and everything else you need to have signed off on in order to have it authenticated by the book?
Yeah, I've been planning this. I originally started about 8 months ago or so, and then got all the details of it. And the past about 3 months, I've just been going through, making sure I have every angle of it covered, because I want that record.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I mean, for God's sakes, how can a record like this be in Germany, right? I mean, that's got to come back home, right?
Exactly, and that's what I'm
USA! 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 USA!
Now, how many people do you normally have down there at the Shore Ultra Lounge on a Friday night?
Usually about 850 to 1,000.
Okay.
So not too much more that we need to hold in there. And if we have too much, they actually can open up upstairs and have a second room if we have more than 1,500 people down there.
Wow. Okay. So you're going to try to pump that up, get at least 1,500 people. That's your goal, is to try to get 1,500 shots going at the same time and then get it into the record books.
Yep. And the whole event, the reason we're doing it is I started a nonprofit organization. We're putting FDA-approved breathalyzers into bars.
I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah. And the ones we use are the only ones that are FDA-approved. So they're actually really, really accurate. It's not like the little pocket ones. It's a $2,000 machine. We bring it into clubs. people can pay a dollar, and then they get to open up a new straw and breathalyze themselves.
So they can check before they leave.
Nice.
Oh, how about that? So you find out before you go out whether you're going to be legally impaired or not.
Exactly. And then when they're paying that dollar goes back to the nonprofit, so mm-hmm. it helps us to buy more machines.
Now, did you say that this breathalyzer is FBI approved?
The FBI!
FDA.
FDA.
I misheard that.
I'm sorry.
It's a medical testing device. So we did a bunch of research. There's two main companies that make them like this, and we went with the one that's FDA approved just for accuracy purposes.
Sure.
All right. Well, it sounds like a win-win. So recapping the event, it's going to be tomorrow night. That's Friday night, June 19th at the Shore Ultra Lounge down in Long Beach. DJ Omar Khan is going to be there. 10:30 sharp is when you plan to get into the Guinness Book World Records for the world's largest group shot. You're trying to get at least 1,500 people.
Yep. And they can also read about it online. The website of our company, it's called Don't Die Drunk.
Don't die drunk.
All right.
Yeah. Well, let me congratulate you on having the foresight to combine Omar and massive amounts of drinking. It's perfect.
I didn't think he'd be against it. I thought it was something he'd like.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it sounds awesome, dude. I mean, why the hell not? If nothing else, come on down for the shot, right? And the girl in the bikini.
Exactly. And as everyone comes in, we're going to get their emails. So once we have it validated through Guinness World Record, we're going to send out a certificate of authentication to everybody so that they can
fantastic
have that photo in their living room.
Nick, it sounds like a great event for a great cause. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Bean Show and telling us about it. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Just have everyone visit don'tdiedrunk.org.
You bet. Bye-bye. You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show. By the way, I think Jack White debuted his Dead Weather band in Los Angeles. I think it was at the Roxy. I heard it was going to be last night or something
But
then we were talking about this yesterday. You got Jack White in your band and you don't have him play guitar?
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
I doubt it was anybody's choice in the band besides his. I bet I want to drum and put together a band. Do you want to join? And who's going to say no?
Yeah, we drafted Kobe. We're just going to have him do defense. That's it. We're only going to have him play defense. I mean, that's pretty much what it's like. But all right, great show still to come here on the Kevin and Bean program, including, as you've heard, David St. Hubbins from Spinal Tap is going to be here. And we're going to ask a dream interpreter in the 8 o'clock hour, a fascinating topic. Let's face it, everybody has dreams. Who the hell knows what they mean, if anything? Your chance to ask a dream interpreter coming up after 8 right now. The Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air. 323-520-AFRO. It's an answer machine that we have set up for our entertainment. You can call on any topic like this listener who was just, had it about up to here with the David Letterman-Sarah Palin feud.
Hey, Sarah Palin, how about you shut your white Eskimo ass up? Shut the hell up, you bitch. You're starting to annoy the hell out of me.
Starting to annoy the hell out of you. Where have you been
the
last
2 years?
Right? Now here's someone who's just about had an ass full of me.
Why is being so stupid? Why is being so gay? Being please shut the F up and please die today. Hey!
Hey!
That, that is the kind of listener love that keeps us going in the morning, right? We had a discussion a couple of weeks ago about what to do if you find a bird that's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
What are your responsibilities to get it some help? Do you just walk on because it's only a bird? Or do you say, hey, that's an animal that's in pain. I need to do everything I can to make sure you know, the animal's as comfortable as possible. What do you do? Well, this listener gave it some thought and came up with the answer.
Dude, I was driving down the street the other day and I saw this bird with a broken wing. So I pulled over and I broke his other wing.
Oh, wow.
That is not an option I had thought of, I have to be honest.
Now, here's some great news. You guys remember Kevin, the blonde kid who used to be on this show?
Huge head?
No, I don't.
Remember the guy who had the huge head? He used to stand right in front of you, Mike.
You couldn't see around him.
Sorry.
His head was so
not
big.
Not ringing a bell.
In fact, until Kevin left, you didn't even know what Lisa Mae looked like because all you'd seen was the back of his head. Well, you'll be happy to know that somebody is finally listening to Kevin's advice.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. I was just at Target recently. And I noticed that they have a new line of guitars, which are endorsed by Adam Levine. And, you know, it seems that they've taken Kevin's advice and have given some love to Maroon 5.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5. I mean, Kevin's been saying it for years, and finally somebody kind of came up with it.
That dick Adam Levine, speaking of guitars, he plays live with a official edition Laker guitar. And I'll never let him live that down. I'm so jealous. Oh, I hate that.
Because it's a cool axe, is that what you mean?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's like it got the Laker emblem in it. It's all gold with like purple highlights.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet.
But he's not fronting, though. I mean, he does love the Lakers. He goes to a lot of games
and
stuff.
He does not miss a game. That's true.
Yeah. All right, here's a complaint, I think, about a new commercial that we're playing.
Hey, I know you guys
don't normally listen to the commercials that you play, but oh my lord, have you heard the new Doritos commercial that you're playing? It's just a dude that sounds like he's got his mouth full. It sounds a lot like that. And dude, it is wrong.
Oh. I have heard it, and it is the closest thing to gay porn you will ever hear on a radio station. It really is crazy, insane. Speaking of Lakers, here's a woman who just can't get enough.
Blah, 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 Lakers. For the love of God, can we stop talking about them now?
A few days ago, we were talking about a shampoo called Kevis. The secret ingredient is the same thing that you find in male sperm. Apparently, that's what is used to help your hair. It regrows hair, apparently, and I think that's what this listener's calling about.
Yeah, hey, this is for Lisa. Lisa, do you want some Kevis shampoo straight from the tap? You know what I'm saying?
How can I not know what you're saying?
It's not the most oblique thing in the world, is it?
Not really.
Now, here's another listener with a very generous offer.
Hey, Lisa, Alex, Miss Cleo. I am a female body inspector, and if you guys are interested, you could contact me at www.cfbi.com.
The FBI!
There is a new sticker for KROQ Radio in Los Angeles. That's what this call's about.
Hey, guys. I just picked up that all-new K-Rock sticker. Boy, it looks great. Instead of black with blue trim, it's blue with black trim. How do you guys come up with that?
Yeah, pretty genius. I agree.
It took us a year.
I was surprised what the guys came out from the lab with this year, I'll tell you that. Afroline, you can use for virtually anything, including just a song request.
Hey, what are you guys doing playing voicemails? Shouldn't you guys be busy playing Kings of Leon for the millionth time?
Well, we just played it about 10 minutes ago, so we're good for right now.
I hear they used to be great. I hear they used to be great, but
that's what I understand, too. I hope they don't judge you on the new album. Here's my favorite. I want to applaud this listener for trying to keep this song alive.
I just got off of work, and then I got high. Ooh, I was listening to Kevin and Bean, and then I got high. I call the Afro line. I don't know why, man. Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
323-520-AFRO. That's the number for you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you want to call the Kevin and Bean Afro line, quick break. We return. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next right after this. Rise Against on the world-famous K-Rock. How about that? 754. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How about that?
Well,
we just played a song. We played a song on the radio, people. That just
happened.
How about
that? I love that band, and I'm impressed every time I hear their music, how good they are. That's all I'm saying. Is I'm just looking back at that song I just heard and going, hey, how about that? That exists. That happens, and I heard that. All right. Ask a Dream Interpreter coming up in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning, by the way, not to look ahead, but on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about this? How about McLovin in studio? Christopher Mintz-Plasse is going to be here from
awesome.
Year one. We'll talk to Bear Grylls on tomorrow morning's show. Penn Jillette is going to be stopping by. And Ralph, aren't you bringing a little something to the party tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to be hanging out with my buddy Franny. I call him Francis Ford Coppola.
Really? You call him Franny?
Yeah! FFC.
Awesome.
My BFF, FFC.
Are you you going to try to get him to put you in one of his movies?
Like he hasn't asked a million times.
You just say no.
I've got to turn him down. I'm too busy doing the Kevin and Bean Show, Francis. I can't be bothered with your major motion pictures. I have to talk about Lindsay Lohan every day. Well, I have to do that instead, Francis.
Francis Ford Coppola, one of the many guests on tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. Really? Lindsay Lohan? That's what you got?
Are you going to do your Nick Cage for Francis Ford Coppola?
I probably won't.
Yeah.
I might lay down a little Pacino, though, for him, since we've both worked with Al. Since we're both close friends with Al. We have a mutual friend in Al Pacino, so I thought maybe I'd tell him some Al stories.
Actually, you guys can share
Al
your
told
experience.
Me some Frank Francis stories, actually, one on the set of Two for the Money.
Seriously?
Really?
I might regale him with a couple of those and see do a little research, see if those are true or not, or whether Al Pacino's a big fat liar.
You're a cool dude.
I am?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. What do you even mean?
You're going to talk to Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, that makes me a lucky dude. That doesn't make me a cool dude.
About stories that Al Pacino told you.
A lucky dude. Doesn't make me a cool dude.
All right.
I've just been blessed.
Fair enough.
I have been blessed. Can I get him a little camera over here?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You really are filling in for Kevin today. I've been hitting this button for 3 minutes now, waiting for that sound to come up. Speaking of lucky dudes, and not just lucky, but well-deserving, our pal Jimmy Kimmel, we celebrate him today as the announcement came from the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce that they are going to give Jimmy Kimmel his own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame next year.
Wow.
How about that?
Our little buddy Jimmy's going to be immortalized on the sidewalks of Hollywood.
That's Boy, that amazing. Was really gay.
I don't think so at all.
He deserves it. I mean, that's a very small fraternity of successful late-night talk show hosts, and he's one of the best, so
Not
I'm very,
just that,
very happy for
but
him.
The guy's been on TV forever with The Man Show and Win Ben Stein's Money. He's been a presence on television for, you know, I don't know, 12 years? Mm-hmm. A long time. And he's been great, and he's this is a well-deserved honor, so I want to congratulate him. And as I look over the list here, let me see if I can find Adam West's name anywhere here.
Well,
let me
clearly
see.
They missed him last year, but this year they'll make good on TV's Batman.
We have put his name in the running 4 years now, 4 years in a row. So I figure today it's got to happen, right? Let me see. Chris Berman. No, that's not Adam West. Peter Graves. No, that's not Adam West. Chaka Khan. No, that's not Adam West. Let me see. Mark Wahlberg. No, that's not Adam. No, look. No, Adam West.
No! No!
Really? What do they have against him?
What has he done?
What do they have against
him?
Clearly.
What has he done? I'm thinking back in the 60s, he banged one of their wives. That's what I'm guessing. It's the only possible explanation.
Could have happened.
Somebody's holding a grudge.
Yeah.
Look, even if he was only TV's Batman, and he's had decades of other great work since then, including, you know, being on The Family Guy now, even if he was just TV's Batman, you look at the stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and you go, well, look, there's the Lone Ranger, and there's the Superman, and there's the Lassie. I mean, all the other kind of contemporaries of his time doing that kind of show in the 60s, they're all on the walk, right?
Absolutely, yes. Clayton Moore, who played the Lone Ranger, he's got a star.
Right.
George Reeves, who played Superman on television. Christopher Reeve played Superman in the movies. All the superheroes are covered, pretty much.
I mean, the Lone Ranger, for instance, has had no resurgence compared to Batman, which has become one of the most popular characters in the world in the last 10 years.
And Adam was the guy who stoked the flames of that fire.
That's right.
So when you give one to Michael Keaton or Val Kilmer or Christian Bale or any of those guys, you got to go back to the source, right?
Adam West, a little bit softer now. Adam West.
It's so sad. Sad, I'm very disappointed.
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
Yes, it is. And you're a heck of a fisherman, too. Maybe they'll give him a Fisherman's Wall of Fame
plaque
or something. They do. I'm down by the Kern River, I think it is. Walk of Fame. Fisherman's Walk of Fame. Do they even fish in the Kern River?
I don't know.
Is there a Kern River?
Yeah, there is, and they do.
Yeah.
There is, and they do, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Lindsay Lohan, shall we? As promised. She's just got to shut the F up. Here's what she's done to Justin Timberlake. Apparently, JT was hanging out at a nightclub in New York City, making out and holding hands and canoodling with some brunette that was not Jessica Biel.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Okay.
That's his business, by the way. And hers, to a certain extent. But Lindsay Lohan, who was in the same club at the same time, takes a picture with her camera phone.
Oh, really?
And then posts it on her Twitter. The picture with the caption, "So dark," because it was a dark photo, apparently, in a dark nightclub. "Where's JB, cheater?" JB, of course, the initials of Jessica Biel. Just mind your own beeswax.
A celebrity outing another celebrity. That's...
Doesn't she have enough drama in her own life that she has to cause it with other people?
No kidding.
Yeah, it's a mess.
She's bad on every level,
right? That's bad form.
Have you seen the picture?
I have not seen the picture yet, no.
Because I'm wondering, like, what if he's just, like, kissing a chick that he knows? Like, what if he's just, you know, "Hey, how are you?" greeting kiss.
On the cheek or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty weak sauce.
Well, there's another source, a celebrity-watching blog called Poison Ivy, also reported the story that he was kissing, holding hands, and canoodling with this brunette in a white hat.
Ooh, canoodling.
So, yeah, canoodling.
That's deadly.
It'll get you every time.
Yeah.
Lost in Armenian genocide.
Oh. Yeah, it is. Bean, you have another point for your side.
What happened now?
You know how Psycho Mike is always going around here telling us how great exercise is, and we all should be exercising.
Mm-hmm.
He was having a conversation with Lisa May just before we went on the air about how much rest she should take in between reps.
Yes.
Dude, that conversation was going on for 3 hours
Shut up.
During
every single song, and your fish and chips and your pot pie. So you shut
every
up.
Every single song, Lisa's talking about, how much should I rest between reps? I mean, all day long.
When I clean and jerk, how much weight should I use?
All right, what do you got?
Jane Fonda. She's the queen of the celebrity exercise tapes, right? Jane Fonda aerobics
and all that stuff.
She started the whole thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, say hi to her new titanium knee. She had to get a new knee.
It's all that aerobics.
That's right. Exercise is no goddamn good for you. It just wears your body out.
And she's so young.
God only gives you so many heartbeats, people. Do you really want to rush through them? No, I don't think so.
It's a great point.
She had surgery Tuesday morning, had a titanium rod and a ceramic joint inserted into her knee.
Uh-huh.
How she'll smoke that joint in her knee, I have no idea.
Hey, now. I can safely say that I will never have to have any knees or elbows or anything replaced on my body.
You barely use any of your joints anymore.
You need a new spine as is. So,
but his joints are in great shape. Yeah. He's only bent them like four times in the past 20 years.
I am going to die in perfect physical condition.
Young, but perfect physical condition.
Right. Jane, who let us know about her operation via Twitter, naturally.
Yeah, of course.
Wrote, lying on a gurney. Drugs are starting to hit.
She's still twittering at that
so
point.
So long, left knee. You're toast.
Dear God.
So, it just goes to show you. No aerobics. Don't do anything.
I think she hurt her knee hiking around Saigon with the enemy.
Oh, easy. Bringing up that old bugaboo.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty strong stuff, Mike. Reaching back to 1972 for your comedy fodder.
Bad reference?
Yeah. No, it's good.
And you'd like to take that back?
Congratulations to Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning. They are starting to work on the Runaways movie. You know, the Runaways, of course, legendary L.A. band, the original all-girl rock band. They are in the works. Kristen Stewart will be portraying Joan Jett, who later broke away from the Runaways and had her own very successful solo career.
I'm concerned about that casting because Joan Jett was a passionate, exciting person.
Yeah.
And I don't see that Kristen Stewart is a good enough actress to be able to pull that off.
I agree.
Ooh.
Joan Jett was a hot lesbian, too, and I don't see Kristen Stewart pulling that off.
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning, by the way, has been cast in the movie as Sherry Curry, Runaways lead singer.
Okay.
So no word.
She's like famous.
Yes, she is, Rodney. Rodney, of course, big Runaways fan.
He's got to be in the movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want to audition. I want to play the role of Rodney.
And the whores.
All I have to do is lose about 200 pounds and chop myself off at the knee. But I am a method actor. I'm willing to go De Niro Raging Bull on it and just make it happen.
Because I'm awesome.
All right. Joan Jett, you're playing music.
He's so great.
Runaways are so godhead.
Come on.
I don't want you to lose a pound. I want you to be swole Rodney.
Big, burly Rodney. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Silk the Shocker.
Yeah!
Don't get Mike started with his PCP Silk the Shocker story, because you don't have the time. Trust me.
God help me.
He is 34 years old today. Nathan Morris of Boys Two Men. He is 38. Isabella Rossellini.
Yeah.
Very talented and lovely actress is 57 years old. Roger Ebert, movie critic, is 67. And Paul McCartney, legendary performer and knight of the British Empire. Sir Paul McCartney is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Ralph, you've had a troubling dream recently, and you said you needed some help. You needed a way to figure out what the hell was going on in your little brain at night. And I think we got just the man for you. Please welcome Frank Runyon. He is the dream doctor, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Good to be here. Thank you.
Please say hello to your patient, Ralph Garman.
Yeah, the whole conversation about interpreting dreams, Frank, came about because I had an intense sex dream about Lisa May, who I work with here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, I can certainly see why.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
And it was vivid and it was intense. And when I woke up the next morning, it lingered. There was a residual sort of sexuality that lingered for like a day or two after the fact, where I was almost embarrassed to look at Lisa in the eye because it had been a very explicit sort of dream.
But then he'd follow me into the bathroom. It was a little
He started to stalk her a little bit.
Yeah.
But eventually it dissipated. But I kept thinking, I know some dreams are just about what they're about on the surface, but what does it mean when you have a sexualized dream about a coworker or a friend or someone else that you don't ordinarily have a sexual relationship or sexual thoughts about? Yeah. Where does that come from? In your subconscious?
Well, sexual dreams, there are a lot of them, and people have them, and they remember them during the day because it's disturbing. If you're having a dream about a coworker, I mean, there are going to be some guys out there that may have just had a dream of being in bed with Phil Jackson, you know, with Kobe.
Yeah.
They were in the parade yesterday.
This is very strange, but I had a sexual dream once about Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Years ago.
and I have no sexual attraction to Mr. Spock whatsoever. But
what was that?
It was a very vivid, weird sort of sex dream with Leonard Nimoy, and that also has always sort of plagued me in my memory.
Yeah, well, again, sex dreams are often about sex. I mean, they can be. If you're dreaming of infidelity, yours or your wife's, I mean, there may be something that needs to be addressed there, some romantic issue that you need to get together with. But
my wife was not even in the picture in this dream with Lisa May. She wasn't even around.
But
wasn't
sex
even a threesome.
Means-
wow.
See, I had a dream with a threesome with two guys that I used to work with who, in waking days, would never be attracted to at all.
Right.
And I went, okay, well, dreams are just dreams. That means nothing because that's too bizarre for work.
Well, you call that a nightmare, though.
A little bit.
Well, when you get sex in dreams, it's often that you're attracted to qualities in that person. Or for Kemdy with a coworker, that you move together, you work together so well.
Right.
That there's it's reflected in your dreams. Because a dream is an image of what's going on in your life right then.
Mm-hmm.
So if, for instance, you're really clicking on the job, then there's this dream image that you really feel close to those people, you work together with them well, you're attracted to those qualities, and you're really enjoying it. And
so, but Frank,
so there's
but
an
Frank,
emotional echo.
Let me ask you this. Doesn't Ralph have an obligation, since clearly it's a message from God, that he needs to... I mean, it would be an offense to God if he did not act on that dream, right?
No, it would be an offense if he did.
See, Bean, once again, you're so wrong.
And isn't it, too, that people just spend so much time with coworkers, often more than they do with their family members?
Well, and you do have to watch out
not
for
us,
that. I mean,
right?
Hey, my brother-in-law divorced his first wife and married his secretary. I mean, this does happen. Obviously, sex and dreams can go both ways. I mean, sometimes there is a little bit of an echo. We had a dream where a guy was having a relationship with his stepdaughter and his wife in the dream, and he was very upset about it.
Yeah.
But what it really meant was he was feeling much closer to his stepdaughter than he was to his wife, and that needed to be addressed in real life.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
He wasn't really attracted to her.
Right.
I mean, people will dream about having sex with their boss, with Dick Cheney. I mean, you just would not believe what shows up in people's dreams. But it just means that you're feeling close.
There's some sort of connection
person.
There.
You're identifying.
Okay.
You had somebody, you know, having sex with Jesse Ventura, you know, who hated Jesse Ventura, but she had just joined a law firm, and she was the only woman with all these men who were powerful, and she liked being one with them in the firm. That's all it was about.
All right, let's take a step back from the specific of Ralph's dream, and let's talk a little bit about dreams and about your background, and then we're going to go to some phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to speak to the Dream Doctor, whose website, by the way, is dreamdoctor.com. How does one become a dream interpreter?
Well, you know, I almost don't even like the term interpreter because it's changed a little bit. What's happened since the 80s, I mean, this recent, because of the internet, we now have the world's largest data bank of dreams. So what's happened is we have over 500,000 dreams. So what's happened now is we've cracked the code. And the world doesn't really know about it because it's not in psychiatrists' interest to tell you the answer. They're dealing with the 3% of people that have unhealthy dreams. But the rest of us, it's amazing. People everywhere in the world are dreaming the same dreams. And we have proof of it. We have the world's largest databank of dreams. And at dreamdoctor.com, that's what you're going to.
Mm-hmm. So it's a natural human experience all over the world,
and
of all people.
There's a commonality.
Instance, naked in public. People are dreaming that absolutely everywhere. Flying in their dreams. People are dreaming that everywhere. Seeing yourself dead in a coffin. You know, people are dreaming that everywhere. I mean, there's just a commonality. Falling off a cliff. Wondering what'll happen when I hit the ground. You know,
but
what
you always wake up, right?
No, you don't.
Really?
No, I always heard
that you always wake up before you die.
There are so many myths out there because until we had the largest data bank of dreams that basically tell you what everything means, because 99% of the time it's clear what it means now. I mean, people would think that, if I die in my dream, that means I'm really going to die. No, if you die in your dream, it means that one part of your life is ending and something new is going on.
Hmm.
Somebody just got married. They frequently see themselves dead in a coffin because, you know, that was the bachelor.
Because getting married
the
is bachelor's the end of your life. Gone. That's why.
No, and the beginning of something else. But, I mean, I almost don't even like the word interpretation because it's really more like a dream analysis. It just tells you the answer.
It seems like it's much more logical than we used to think it was.
Exactly. And it is because of, really, the birth of the internet. We now have the data.
Is another recurrent dream that feeling of helplessness where either you're in quicksand or you're running and you can't get anywhere or you're in a fight and you can't move your arms? It's like your arms are paralyzed by your side.
Yes. Well, there are two things going on there. You have to be a little bit careful. There is something called REM paralysis. Which is you dream at the end of 90-minute cycles all night long. You'll notice when you wake up, look at your watch, you'll be amazed. You wake up every 90 minutes, usually. You'll say, well, I've been asleep 3 hours. I've been asleep 4.5 hours. And at the end of those 90-minute segments, there's REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. That's when you dream. Mm-hmm. We know it now from electroencephalograms. When you take an EEG, you can see that's what's happening. And it gets
so longer. Everyone dreams whether they remember it or not, right?
Everybody dreams 100 minutes a night, believe it or not. 100 minutes a night. And during that period, you can't move. So occasionally, if you're not getting enough sleep and you can't move in your dreams, it's because you're in that REM paralysis that you're sort of waking up and you can't move. But frequently, it means you're stuck in your life. Like in quicksand, it means you're sort of isolated. You're not feeling like you have the power to get yourself out of.
Well, that's Ralph right there. You hit the nail on the head right there.
I've been drowning at this job for 10 years.
Yes. Well, it's a version of a falling dream. Like we all have falling dreams. It means the ground's been pulled out from under you. Like if you just were divorced, you just lost your job. A lot of guys out there probably have had falling dreams. Or quicksand, that you don't have the power to go where you want to go. And you're slowly sinking, and you're all alone.
Let me pause right there, guys, because we do have to take a break, and we do have to come back with some phone calls and some more questions. Frank Runyon is here. He is the Dream Doctor. The website is dreamdoctor.com. We'll get to as many of your calls as we can, but obviously the phones are blowing up because everyone dreams and everyone wonders about them. So 1-800-520-1067. We'll ask a Dream Doctor when we return on The Kevin and Bean Show. If you got any dreams about kids, we don't want to hear about them. It's MGMT. It's 829. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. The great David St. Hubbins, guitarist for Spinal Tap, joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, you are in the middle of our latest Ask-A. This time, it's Ask-A Dream Interpreter.
Strange dreams are made of this. Sometimes I don't have a pee-pee. What do you think this dream really means? Could it be I'm gay?
We need to ask some questions about Omar is what we need to ask. 1-800-520-1067. You'll be on with Frank Runyon. He is the Dream Doctor at thedreamdoctor.com. Let's squeeze in a couple of calls, and we'll start with line now. How about line 5 here? Our friend Ashley is on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ashley. You're on with Frank. Ask a Dream Doctor.
Hi. Bear with me. I'm a little nervous.
Okay.
But, about a year ago, I had a dream that I slept with my father.
Uh-oh.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to even.
So now she has to do it, if I understand correctly.
Wrong.
Right?
No. Once again, you're wrong.
No. We slept together.
And right. We got that.
Weird. I looked it up and I couldn't find anything. I mean, I don't want to go into detail.
All right, Ashley, okay. Ashley, stop.
Couple
go
quick
ahead,
questions. Frank. Ashley, first of all, that's a very common dream. Don't worry about it. It's always
I had
bit
a dream
weird.
About sleeping with your father, Ashley.
Oh,
yes.
Stop it.
No, don't pay any attention to him. When you're sleeping with your dad, well, how did you feel in the dream? The most important thing is dreams never lie about how you're feeling. In the dream, were you upset to be sleeping with your dad, or did you feel comfortable?
I was okay.
You're okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the key question here. Because, do you have a good relationship with your dad?
We're not close, but I mean, like, if I need to call him, I can call him.
So normally an older figure like that, it means that you're looking for his wisdom. You're looking for his guidance. You're trying to be one with what he would say if he were right there with you. You're trying to sort of crawl inside him and get his wisdom and be that close with him. Was
so
there something tough
sexual.
Going on in your personal life when you had the dream?
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
There you go. Because dreams are always about what's going on right then in your life. At that time, you needed his guidance, and you wanted to get as close to him as you possibly could could sort out what was going on in your personal life.
So bottom line, it was okay.
It's absolutely okay. I mean, you want to be close to your dad, and people dream that with their kids, with their fathers, but especially with your dad, you were looking for his wisdom and guidance.
So the sex was just symbolic. It wasn't literal.
Absolutely. It's a little freaky when your conscious mind looks at it, but that's cool. You just wanted his guidance. Did things turn out okay?
Okay,
you got some guidance from him. Maybe.
Thank you for the call, Ashley. We appreciate it. That's a great answer, too, Frank. Let's try line 2. This is our man Jay on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jay. You're on with the Dream Doctor. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Jay.
For the last 2 days, I've been having a reoccurring dream of
zombies. I know it sounds weird, but it just, I don't understand what
they're
it means.
Real. It's not weird at all.
No.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's weird. It's like I wake up, in my dream, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm hearing sounds from throughout my house, and I see just a shadow, and I'm thinking it's my dad. But I look across the room, and my dad's door's closed, so I'm like, okay, it's not him. So I turn the light on, and it's just a zombie. It's just
all right, what about zombies and monsters and creatures and things like that, Frank?
Well, zombies are very, very common in dreams, and it probably means that somebody in your life, Jay, has got an alcohol or a drug problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's somebody in your life, you probably know who it is, but I mean that they're right there, they're close to you, and when zombies always mean the same thing. If teenagers get it a lot, you know, it means your friends are being controlled by something else. You know, it's the alcohol in them, it's the drugs in them. It's very, very common dream. So you've been partying with somebody? there's somebody that's hanging around that's got an alcohol or a drug problem.
But it's not you.
Well, I'm a recovering addict. So,
there you go.
I've been clean for over a year, so yeah.
There you go. And it's sort of hanging around, and it's right there in the house with you, and you're within the dream. You're not. How are you feeling about the zombie being there?
I'm sorry?
Does
it freak you out?
Does it freak you out? Are you scared about it? Are you concerned? How do you feel inside your dream about the presence of the zombie?
I just wanted to just take it out because it was going to harm me. So
there you go.
Wanted to threaten it.
And that's fascinating.
It's
stuff.
A picture of exactly how you feel.
So
about
it's a psyche
addiction.
Still fighting the addiction.
You got it. It's a picture of how you're feeling, and the good news is you're trying to get rid of it, and that augurs well for your future.
Yeah, Jay, thank you very much for the call.
If he was having sex with the zombie, that would be bad. Yes, because he'd be trying to get back with the addiction.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Right. Let's talk to Elizabeth. She's on line 8 for the Dream Doctor on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Liz. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I'm actually calling. I've had this ever since I was a little girl. I have dreams of huge, massive waves, and they crash down. When I mean huge, we're talking at least 50 to 100 feet up in the air, taller than some buildings. Scares the crap out of me to the point it almost scares me so much. The wave actually amuses itself and looks like one of those fake cartoon waves.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just to cut to the chase on this, water in dreams always represents emotion. And we don't have time to tell you why, but it always does. So there's a huge wave of emotion that you're feeling threatened by that started when you were a young child. So the question is, you always look, when did a recurring dream start? That's the key. What was going on in your life, if you can remember when this dream started? It was the name of this emotion that you keep having, feeling overwhelmed and threatened by some event that's on the horizon. When did it start?
Wow, I'm actually going to start to cheer up when I was 13. That's when I feel one of the turning points was in my life. I got diagnosed with a thyroid condition that basically turned my life around, and yeah, I've had it ever since then.
There you go.
Right, and you feel threatened by it. Yeah, and it's there, and that's why it's recurring in your dreams. You keep addressing that problem and get on top of it medically, you're going to stop having that dream. It's just a picture of you that you're still feeling threatened by it and emotionally upset, feeling that you could be potentially overwhelmed by it.
Wow, thank you very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks for calling.
Wow. Frank, a dream interpreter.
Okay.
Amazing. Yes,
thank you.
Is smart
doing?
And some junk, by the way. Yeah. That's
amazing how on point all this stuff is. We really do talk to ourselves in our dreams with this stuff.
Well, and what's so sad is that people don't get the information. And again, dreamdoctor.com, it's all free. Just go there. There's a dream dictionary. It breaks it all down. Everything I told you today, you could have gotten off of the website, too.
Yeah. Awesome.
Frank, I'm going to tell you right now that we'd like to have you back when we have some more time. I apologize that we're a little tight on
time
today.
Great to be here.
I'd
love to come
back.
Great
stuff. DreamDoctor.com. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more on The Kevin and Bean Show.
We're going to ask a dream interpreter.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Big day, big week. It's the return of the tap. Ralph, I know you're as excited as I am that your favorite band is back on the scene.
I think I'm probably one of the biggest Tap fans there are.
They're back from the dead, don't you know?
Yeah, I was having an argument with a friend of mine earlier this week about whether they were actually really dead or not. And he was saying that at least two of them, David and maybe Nigel, were dead. And I was defending Tap by saying, no, they're not dead. They're just wildly unpopular. And so I stood up for them. I stood up for Tap.
I can tell you that I got some back for your play right now because David St. Hubbins himself, guitarist for the legendary Spinal Tap, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Hey, David, great to have you back on the show. How are you, my friend?
Why should I talk to you if I'm already dead?
That's what I want to know.
You're not dead. That's what we're saying.
I see. Yeah.
I was defending Tap, saying that the Tap isn't dead.
I see. I got you now. I'm a bit slow this morning. How are you guys speaking?
We're fine. Is this a common problem where you guys take one of your legendary multi-year breaks and all of a sudden the internet rumors are flying that now the Tap is gone?
No, we wish. We wish that the rumors would fly. It's more like everything else flies and we just kind of stay put.
Right.
But, you know, we've all been busy with our own thing, you know, and then we get back together again. It's like we never left. We just take up. Sometimes we take up arguments that we left behind 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh no, still fighting?
Oh yeah. But I think that's the energy that keeps it going. You know, you think about all the great bands that had a sort of a feud at the center. You know, the Kinks and Oasis.
Yeah, right.
It's usually brothers, you know, but Nigel and I are very close. We're like brothers,
sure,
in a way.
The Bay City Rollers, too, had that problem.
And the Bay City Rollers, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say John and Yoko, but that's maybe a bad example.
Yeah, it is. Right. Speaking of John and Yoko, is Janine still in the picture, David? I haven't heard any rumors about that.
No, she's long gone.
Long gone?
Yeah. We were planning on getting married in the year 2000 because astrologically, we were not supposed to marry in a year starting with a 9 in it.
Right.
So we had to wait, and by that time we weren't speaking anymore. And we briefly had a fling online, and were actually virtually married.
Virtually?
Yes, yeah. By a sort of what you call a robo-droid minister. But it didn't work either.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
to hear
the
that.
Beautiful thing about her is she's gone, but the virus remains. So you'll always think of her, right?
Yeah, very, very true. Yeah.
Now the reason the Tap is going around this week, and I saw you on the Conan show, for instance, performing live a couple of nights ago.
Yeah,
is you're back with a brand new album called Back from the Dead, but it's new yet old in that you've taken a bunch of your classic Spinal Tap favorites, and many of them you have reworked for the new millennium. Now, what's the thinking behind that? What are you guys trying to do, David?
Oh, well, now we're expected to think, are we?
Sorry, yeah, a little bit.
We were just expected to play. But there's no real thinking behind it. We just we know that a lot of the songs have been available only in the States, only as a part of the soundtrack album, quote unquote,
to your documentary, right?
Nefarious film, yes.
Right.
But so we decided to re-record them, make them sound better in this digital age,
mm-hmm.
and we really haven't changed much except for two numbers. We do the newer what we call the funky Sex Farm. As well as a reggae version of Listen to the Flower People.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by that because you guys being such metalheads, and I know you've experimented with other kinds of music, I was surprised to see you embrace reggae. That did not seem manly enough for a band like Spinal Tap.
Well, listen, you know, a lot of reggae, as an aficionado, a lot of reggae really consists of standing around and sort of shuffling from one foot to another and staring at the stage and inhaling.
Right.
That's pretty much what reggae is to me, and as a fan, you know. And it's not much more demanding as a player as well. So yeah. We love that.
But what I do love about Back from the Dead and also the great DVD that comes with every purchase of the album, which you must watch. It's a must-see. I do love that no matter what style of music you're playing, you continue to make it so loud that it is painful, as all good rock and roll should be.
Yes, I agree. You know, we were once called the Thamesmen back in the day.
When sure.
When we first recorded, we were known as the Thamesmen. And we were a very light, sort of poppy band. You know, everything was sort of thin and on the surface. And we like that. We like being only on the surface,
right?
But we decided once we became Spinal Tap that we should live by the credo that every song should not just make you smile, it should make you cower in fear and crumple into a heap, if at all possible.
But right. David, there still are some Thamesmen hits on here. You've got Cups and Cakes and Give Me Some Money, right?
Yes, that's right. We've redone both of them. Cups and Cakes is interesting because I just sat down at the piano, and we were getting a level to play something else, you know. And I play a bit of keyboard, and it's mostly Mr. Caucasian Jeffrey Vanston. He does most of our keyboard work.
Right.
But I was just sitting at the piano, and someone said, give me a level. So I started playing, and I started playing Cups and Cakes, and they were rolling. And everyone sort of was sitting at their instruments and just sort of picked them up one by one, And we wound up with a nice little pub sing. You know, it was nice.
Yeah, it's a sing-along for the whole family. I think you'll love it. This is the great David St. Hubbins on the phone, of course, from the band Spinal Tap, in stores now and available for download with Back from the Dead, their new album. I have to ask, because we do live in a charity world, if you're in a rock band, you have to be involved in a charity. Please explain for your fans what the Die Strong movement is all about, David.
Well, Die Strong is really, it's not so much a charity as it is a philosophy. The idea is, we have these yellow wristbands that say Die Strong.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is, and I'm not articulating this terribly well because this wasn't my idea, but Nigel says the important thing is to die strong so that if you do have to come back from the dead, you'll be just that much more prepared.
That's a good idea.
So it's sort of I would call it a pre-zombie condition that you want to adopt before you actually pass away. That's our philosophy.
David, one more question about the album. I couldn't help but notice as I looked at it that you've included Jazz Odyssey not twice, but three different times on the album. And if I remember correctly from the documentary in 82, that was not well received when you guys played Themeland Amusement Park when you were Spinal Tap Mark II, if I remember correctly.
Yes, and of course we rarely played it live.
Yeah, because most people hated it, right?
It is my dream that most people continue to hate it. what we've done, it's actually a 40 to 45 minute free-form piece that Derek Smalls, our bass player, created over the years in his spare time. He sort of cobbled it together like one of those contraptions that people kept trying to fly with. You know,
they crashed and burned.
Yeah, exactly. And so we rarely played it, but we were in the studio, and he said, you know, we can record this all in one now, because tape only went to 20 minutes.
Right.
And digital, you can go all bloody week. And so that's what he wanted to do, go all week. He wanted to play literally an entire 5 or 6 day period without stopping.
Right.
And so we compromised.
Uh-huh.
We told him no. And we said, how about, 40 minutes? And he said, all right, I'll do some cutting. And so we did a 40-minute version, and we chopped it down to three sort of 2-minute bite-sized pieces.
Yeah.
Or three, I guess. Three to 2 minutes around there. And it's you know what? Listen, I have to rave about it. It's downright tolerable.
There you go. Well, that's quite an endorsement.
Yes, it is.
And I know how much the Tap doesn't believe in jazz, so the fact that you're taking on the form and showing them how it's supposed to be done, I think, is very admirable, David.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, it's true. We despise jazz because we think that jazz is just mistakes, really.
Mm-hmm, right.
And improvisation just means lack of planning. This is how I feel about it.
Right.
But once we were done and swore we'd never do it again, we felt sort of born again. Back from the dead, you might say.
All right.
We had passed through the baptism of fire and humiliation. And we've come out the other end stronger people, I think.
Well, it's a beautiful story, and it's a terrific album and DVD and a free diorama that comes with every purchase that you definitely want to hang up in your home.
I would like to say, please be careful when you're assembling the diorama. Paper cuts can be really nasty.
Yes, Back from the Dead is available everywhere from the great Spinal Tap. David St. Hubbins, thank you for coming on the
Thank you, gentlemen.
We enjoyed talking to you.
Can't say no. That's K-Rock Traffic.
Let's hear it for Lisa.
Yay. This is the world famous K-Rock. It is 8:57. Don't forget tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got an interview with Francis Ford Coppola on the air tomorrow. How about that,
Franny? I'll be
also with our friend Bear Grylls back on the show. Penn Jillette, Adam Carolla stops by. McLovin will be here. Of course, actor Christopher Mintz-Plasse. He's in the I can never say his name. He's in the Year One movie. All of that tomorrow morning on an all new.
And I'm going to a wedding. Let's not forget that.
What?
Oh, that's right.
Yes, you are. Oh,
today is the wedding of Dua Vid and the mannequin.
Yes.
That's right.
Are you best man, Mike?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm de facto best man.
Any man standing next to Dua Vid is the best man, by the way.
Anyway, that is a show you will not want to miss, but we're not done yet for today. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to the Showbiz News, I guess this is Showbiz News, I wanted to give a hearty congratulations to our old pal Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Just announced yesterday he will be receiving a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You get to walk right on Jimmy Kimmel. I can't wait. I'm gonna stand on him and just put my cigarette out on him. And it's going to be awesome.
Oh, good for you.
Now, Ruff, when you get this honor, and it is indeed an honor because, you know, very few, many would like to be on the walk. Very few are selected. What do they give you, a parade or a call? They send a messenger to your home with a gold certificate? I mean, how do they let you know that you've won?
I let Jimmy know last night that he'd won. That's how he found out. I contacted him and said, hey, congratulations. I just got the press release. And, you know, you get your star, and that's awesome. And he's like, what? I am? I had no idea any of this was going on. So he was totally caught by surprise.
Oh.
So someone in his camp, I guess, must have nominated him, unbeknownst to Jimmy. We should talk to Jimmy. Maybe we can get him on the phone tomorrow and talk about this honor. Because,
yeah, great.
It's a pretty cool thing. Some of just the, there's a lot of people this year being honored. Adam West, not among them. But those who are, James Cameron has gotten a nod for movies. Russell Crowe, John Cusack, Mark Wahlberg, Adam Sandler. And television, Jimmy, Peter Graves, who was a big star in the 60s, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Bill Maher, Chris Berman from ESPN. Recording artists include Brian Adams, Ringo Starr, the Funk Brothers, Van Morrison, and Andrea Bocelli and the Cirque du Soleil founder Guy Liberté have received it for live performance and theater.
You're also a bug pirate.
Nobody in radio this year, by the way. Nobody in radio on this list. No radio stars going out.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Because Bill Handel just got his star,
right?
But he would have gotten that last year, was when it was announced, I guess.
Speaking,
Rush Limbaugh got a star this year, too.
That's right. Speaking of honors, the Emmy Awards have announced they are moving their broadcast and ceremony back to the original date of September 20th that they moved.
Liars.
They were supposed to do it on the 20th, and they moved it because they were going up against an NFL doubleheader. And one of those games was the Giants-Dallas game in their brand new stadium, in Cowboys Stadium. So they knew that no one would watch the Emmys. They'd be watching that instead. So they moved it, and then they found out they were going up against the MTV Video Music Awards. And they also were afraid that the audience would not find them, so they moved it back to the original date of September 20th. So we will all be watching football when the Emmys are on. Kings of Leon have announced they've just started up their own record label. The band's website says the Fallowell brothers will be able to sign artists they like to their new new record label, which is part of the LA-based music publisher Bug Music. The first up is an album by The Features, which is a band of fellows also from Tennessee, and they toured with the Kings in 2007, so The Features will be released on Kings of Leon's new record label. And also in music news, good news for STP fans, Stone Temple Pilots are reportedly working on a new studio album. Scott Weiland told Artist Direct that 18 songs have been written, 10 already have lyrics, so they're well on their way. The album should be out by Christmas, Scott says, and will be followed by a tour in 2010. I will believe it when I see it.
I can never keep that band straight, whether they're together and Scott's with them or not, or whether they're playing with somebody else or what they've got going on.
As of
right now, it's on.
Scott is with them. They're working on a new album, and they have the best of intentions. See you on the road to hell. Today's celebrity birthdays, Paul McCartney, legendary Beatle. He is 67 years old today. I think David St. Hubbins and Paul used to play together back in the day when they were
jammed.
Young men. Yeah. Paul, of course, from the Liverpool city in the UK. And David St. Hubbins, I believe, was from a neighborhood in the east end of London called Squatney. That's where he grew up. Movie critic Roger Ebert is 67 years old as well. Isabella Rossellini.
Hi.
You probably know her from Blue Velvet and her other feature films. She's 57. And Silk the Shocker.
Fantastic.
Rapper and provider of PCP to Psycho Mike. He is 34 years old today. Don't ask Mike about that story. By the way, I don't know if you've heard Cat yet this morning, Bean.
No.
Oh, it's going to be a great show.
What was she doing?
Oh, it's going to be a great show. Can we bring Kat in here real
quick?
Come
on in, Kat.
Kat Corbett, of course, follows us here on KROQ. She does. She's our midday jock, as we say in the radio business. And sometimes we make fun of Kat because of the way she sounds. But I think today's going to be a special treat.
I am.
What the
heck? This is my first time talking today. And I don't know.
All right, let me guess. Were you at the Dead Weather last night?
I was at the Dead Weather.
Yeah,
yes.
I thought you might have gone to see Jack White's Too Bad.
This is worse than when you were at South by Southwest.
I know. I don't know what's going on.
They're going to let you
on with that?
Do they know you need your voice for this job?
You know, that's like...
Because sometimes you don't come in when you can't talk.
Your voice sounds like blowing a dog whistle through a drainage pipe. That's
Look,
what it sounds like.
At one point last night...
Kat, you can't talk.
Listen, I was at the show, and at one point, to the left of me was Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age.
Right.
And to the right was Jimmy Page.
Wow.
So
that's a great story, but I have to ask you to stop talking now.
No more.
You're killing me.
Just play the clip.
Sounds like someone's strangling her.
By noon, I'll be awesome.
Yeah. You're on next.
Were you trying to have a conversation over loud music all night? Is that what this is? Or were you screaming along with the band? Or what caused this?
That and a couple cocktails. Yeah.
All right. What were you drinking? Ground glass?
This is going to be a real treat for listeners of your program today.
Yeah, good times.
Have fun.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, Ralph, you had a Hollywood moment last night, I understand.
Yeah, I was monitoring the news services online because, you know, I've put Adam West up for a Hollywood star now, 4 years running, and I was trying to find out when they announced who was going to get the stars as quickly as possible, if Adam got his or not. So
TV's Batman, right?
TV's Batman, of course. So I get the notice, and I realize that Adam once again isn't on this year, so I was crestfallen. But then my spirits were quickly boosted by the fact that I saw a name that I recognized on that list, and that name was Jimmy Mother Effin' Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And James joins us on the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde program right now. Hey, Jim.
And thank you. And the funniest part is I didn't know about any of this until Ralph sent me an email.
Right, so I congratulate him, saying, way to go, Jim. You got your star. He's like, what? I am? I have no idea what you're talking about.
How does this work? How does this work that you don't know that you're... Did you not even know you were up for a star?
I knew nothing about it at all.
Wow.
In fact, I thought maybe Ralph was goofing on me. I thought, nah, it's probably not the case. And I went and looked it up online, and yeah, there it was.
What are your people doing behind your back that you're not aware of, Jim?
Apparently they're, I don't know, I wonder how many honors I'm being rejected for now.
Exactly.
I think about this.
Now, are you delighted? Are you happy to have a star? Are you uncomfortable with it? Do you think it's worthy? Where are you at?
I think it's any performer's dream to have his name urinated on by homeless people.
Sure.
But, no, you know, it's kind of cool. It's funny because I always thought about that. Who cares, really? But then when I got that email from Ralph, I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool, actually. I mean, you go out there and you see Regis's name, and then you turn around and you see it again, and then you see Don Rickles' name, and it would be kind of cool to be on that.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And here's the thing about the star is you're going to be dead soon, but the star will remain, and people will be forever walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and they're going to go, who the hell is Jimmy Kimmel?
The great thing will be, you know, people have disdain for certain stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I go, oh, what does this guy have a star for? What is this? I want to try to capture that on video. Maybe I could have a hidden camera implanted in my star also.
Oh, this guy doesn't deserve that.
Now, some of the stars, they go to great lengths to take care of them. They hire a team that goes out and, like, buffs it once a week and stuff like that. Are you going to be involved at all in the maintenance of your star, or are you going to hit it and quit it, Jimmy?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. I hope this isn't some major expense like owning a condominium in Florida or something.
Maybe you can get a timeshare star with Ryan Seacrest or something. Just half the time it could have your name on it.
I wonder if they'll let me share my star with Adam West, because it would be pretty awesome to have Jimmy Kimmel and Adam West, or even vice versa, right there on the star.
Agreed. Oh,
that would be the best star ever.
That would win for you, Ralph.
It would. Like two favorite people on one star.
Hey, can I mention something? Because I think it's important to mention this. You know those little messages at the bottom of an email when people send you and they have like some predetermined message at the bottom, like
signature,
my iPhone or try Yahoo Mail. Beans is love holiday music year round like I do. Try www.christmasmusicevery.com.
Yeah, we know.
That's true, yes.
That's Bean's website dedicated to Christmas music.
Yeah. How is it
possible that a person who is not religious and who has no children loves Christmas this much?
He doesn't even love Christmas that much. He just loves Christmas music.
I do.
Because, Jim, here's the thing. Bean is a retard.
Oh, Ralph with that. Come on. Jimmy, every day I post a different Christmas song, and I'm about, I don't know, a year and a half or a little more in. So
yeah,
I know.
It's troublesome, that's all.
Yeah, listen, Jim, you have no idea. Of all your many accomplishments, your successful late-night talk show, now your star on the Walk of Fame, still your greatest achievement in my eyes is getting the hell off of this show and getting away from Bean. You have no idea how lucky you are.
It's like a fact you would learn about, like, Kim Jong-il or Ted Kaczynski or something.
Exactly.
You know, he, every day, listen to Christmas music.
Right.
Really?
Ted Bundy used to murder the girls in his bug listening to Christmas songs. He loved it.
Well, we couldn't be happier to see that. Well, we could be happier because if Adam West had been on the list, that would have made us happier. But well, short of TV's Batman being recognized, Jimmy, there's no one we can think of that we would rather see in cement on the Hollywood Boulevard Walk of Fame.
But, well, thank you. It's really beginning to look a lot like Christmas, I tell you.
It certainly is. And don't miss Jimmy Kimmel, late nights on ABC, coming up after Nightline. Thanks, Jim. Good talking to you.
Take care, guys.
Hey, Sum 41, also Shinedown coming up as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock with Nicole Alvarez in just a few minutes. It's Thursday afternoon on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, if I could, a quick plug for tomorrow morning's show, because Ralph is sitting down with the legendary Francis Ford Coppola for tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. How about that?
That is impressive.
Me and Franny.
You know, a little
Not
directors.
Not when you say it like that,
me,
though.
Me and Cope.
The Cope. Little directors done movies like, oh, I don't know, The Godfather and Apocalypse Now.
Me and
but
Cope.
That'll be tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, McLovin will be here. Christopher Mintz-Plasse. I'm 0-10 so far, by
He's
the way.
He's having a mintz-plasty. It's a new procedure.
He is in year one. Bear Grylls on the show tomorrow. Penn Jillette, Adam Carolla. I mean, it really
what?
Is. It's crazy. Too much show tomorrow.
That's Damn. Awesome. I don't think I need to show up tomorrow. You have so
you
much show, I don't even need
think,
to be here.
I think
no
we
room
would.
For me. I'm going to take an early vacation. I'm going to leave
it's Friday.
Early.
You need the movie beat. We got the movie beat tomorrow.
Yeah, there's too. Some movies. Here you go. Go see them.
All right.
Here's your movie beat.
Time now for a look at what's going on in Hollywood. Here's Ralph Garman.
How would you like to have Stewie from The Family Guy on your iPhone? Or Homer Simpson giving you directions on your GPS?
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah. This is some of the latest technology. Daily Variety has announced the freaking sweet Family Guy app on your iPhone. Will give you up to 20 clips from Family Guy, and you can build your own video mix and put it on your iPhone.
That is
okay.
Cool.
And TomTom has announced that their company is now featuring Homer Simpson's voice as the voice of your GPS device.
This is not happening. This is not happening.
He says that when you miss your turn.
I would love that.
It'd be awesome if you overshoot your exit on the freeway and he comes back at you with that. Already available on TomTom GPS's are Mr. T. How cool would we have him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Make it right now, fool.
Burt Reynolds.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to get off the freeway. And Gary Busey.
Uh-oh.
Kim Cattrall for Lisa.
Okay.
You could drink a Cosmopolitan while you're driving and
you
pretend
betcha.
You're on Sex in the City. So you can find out more at TomTom.com.
I'm waiting for those
traffic jams. The traffic report will get me out of this one.
Tom Cruise and director J.J. Abrams apparently are working together and will be co-producing a Mission Impossible 4. This just announced in Daily Variety. Tom Cruise had fallen out of favor with the Paramount family after Sumner Redstone cut off his relationship with him a couple years ago. But it looks like they're back in business, and J.J. Abrams will at least be producing and probably directing the Mission Impossible 4. He's going to have a full slate, though, because he also has to do the Star Trek sequel for Paramount, which is supposed to come out that same year. So he'll be working very hard.
He is the new standard, the new gold standard for Hollywood right now, isn't he?
He is the new Spielberg.
Yeah.
He's the guy who gives you big budget entertainment, but also is a slave to story and character. So it's the best of both worlds.
Quality.
Yeah, it's just hard to come by. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are better than you.
Yeah, I know.
They've just donated another $1 million to the UN Refugee Agency to help displaced people in Pakistan.
They give $1 million like we give a dollar to the guy out in front of the 7-Eleven. It's like they never even, it seems like they do it so frequently they barely think about it.
What do you mean we, white man?
Yeah.
Next time you pull a dollar out of your pocket and hand it to some homeless guy, I want to be there to shoot some photos. You cheap bastard.
How dare you.
And apparently Angelina says there are more than 2 million people who fit into that category in Pakistan in terms of displaced people. So she's doing what she can to help.
Well, that's really great.
Very nice. And Britney Spears may be planning another wedding. Star Magazine says she and her new boyfriend, Jason Trawick, are talking marriage.
How long have they been together?
Oh, Lisa, it's been weeks.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah, look, she married her first husband after 73 hours or something.
And that was a lovely union.
This is not a woman that takes marriage seriously, but it could be her third trip down the altar. Or
down the aisle.
Up the aisle,
down
whatever
the
she
aisle
does,
or
yeah.
On the altar, or bent over the altar, or whatever she does when she gets married. So.
Oh, leave Britney alone!
Yeah, I'm sorry, I cannot. Today's celebrity birthday is Paul McCartney. One time, one part of the biggest musical band in the world, the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's talking about freedom, and everybody's going to dance tonight with a mandolin.
How mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Although he kicked some ass at Lollapalooza,
Coachella?
Whatever
Coachella.
That thing.
Coachella.
Coachella, yeah. Coachella.
But I hear he didn't play a lot of that.
No, he's got his new...
said music. He played...
His new persona. Yeah. The proctologist.
The fireman.
The fireman. That's his new...
very
new,
similar.
Very similar. Roger Ebert, movie critic. Why isn't he on TV more?
That's a good question.
I would like to see Roger
just
Moore on television. I would like to see him talk about movies on television like he used to. I don't know what his... Now he's too big, he can't be on television anymore? What? Although I think there is a one-jaw requirement to be on television. So I'm just saying.
Dear God.
Oh, you're right. It's my bad. I did it to him. It's me.
You're a bad person.
I'm saying
person.
He's deficient in the jaw department, which would preclude him probably from doing a bunch of television.
He's right.
No.
He's right. He's in that department, Lisa.
He's lacking.
We're not to talk about it.
He does not have a wealth of jaw.
He's lacking. If his jaw was a bank account, he would be overdrawn. That's what we're saying. He'd be writing checks that his jaw could not cash. That's what we're saying.
That's real talk right there, man.
Isabella Rossellini is 57 years
eat
old.
Me, Frank. Eat me, Frank.
And Silk the Shocker. Rapper Silk the Shocker. Silk with two Ks, mind you.
Yeah.
Shocker?
Why not?
Spelt as you expect. But Silk, two Ks. He is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.